All right, hello and welcome to episode 65 of Muse on Minis Miami.
Bienvenido a Miami.
I'm Crump and I play Circle and Legion. Yeah, that's enough.
I'm Colin. I play Retribution, Scorn, Signar, Circle, Kaylor,
nope.
Minions.
Nope.
I'm kidding.
I feel like you're making some of that
The
up.
First three were correct.
Okay.
I'm Fox, and I still play Rix.
I'm Lance. I play Protectorate and Ariadna in Infinity.
Oh. You know,
You know what we forgot to mention in the pre-ramble?
What was that?
Age of Sigmar.
No, screw it. Everybody's talking
Get
about
wrecked,
it.
Literally
nerds.
Everybody's
Age of
talking
Sigmar.
About it.
Yeah.
Get wrecked. We just talked about it, so there we go.
Yeah, we just did. Get wrecked, nerds.
We're sorry for your loss.
I clearly have the most fantastic beard.
You finally made it.
I want to grow one single hair really long and then just say,
Fox,
this is the most epic beard.
Fox, you don't know about this at all, do you?
No.
So here's what happened. New Warhammer Fantasy rules came out.
No, yes, right. I do. I'm sorry. I really don't care.
It's
but...
Age of Sigmar is what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, that's dangerously close.
I know.
It's really
terrifying.
It,
when I
it
heard
might
it,
be that they were
thought.
Towing the line to Privateer Press saying, how close can we get before you sue us?
All right.
That's fine.
Before we talk, which I think we're going to mostly do Dojo and talk about the new ADR since the season's starting here and very soon, there's some spoilers that I just found on the internet like 3 seconds ago.
There's an announcement.
Is it Epic Zol?
No, it's Acosta.
Who's
the
that?
Stormblade solo-y dude.
Oh, hey.
Does
he work for Signar?
The Thamorite?
Mercenary. This model will work for Signar.
Yes.
What else? Anything else?
Nope, that's it.
I don't know his types, but those are listed on the stupid picture thingy online where it's like Thamorite, Stormblade, whatever.
Oh.
Sure.
Because this is just a snap from a no quarter.
So that would work for, if it's Signar, it's just Highborn, right? You can't go into 4-star for Mercs.
Off the top of my head, I want to say correct.
Weird. Can Alexia go in Highborn?
Yes, because she works for Signar.
Okay.
Then
go ahead. Proceed. Right. I just want to make a. I have to make a Highborn Fiona list with this guy to get all the Thamorites in one list.
He's speed 7, mat 9, so he's the third.
Speed 7.
He's the third character that's mat 9.
Jesus.
Sure. Right.
Sure.
It's Butchers.
It's Butcher and Vilmon, and then this guy.
And what's his name from Scorn?
Xerxes.
No, Hakkar.
Oh yeah.
He's mat 9.
Oh yeah, he is. I don't think he's an 8. Oh my! Yeah. All right, so we got another mat 9, and then we're at 6.
Does he have reach?
We'll get to that.
Okay.
So speed 7, mat 9, rat 6, def and arm 15. He has 2 Stormglaive blasts that are range 4, pow 12, and then he's got 2 Stormglaives that are pow plus strength 13, as per normal.
Range 4, pow 12.
Yeah, they're Stormglaives.
Are they AOEs?
They're Stormblade guns. He literally has Stormglaives.
So no, he does not have reach unless there's some like special.
Correct. He does not have reach.
That's why he's speed 7.
He's speed 7. So it's 10 and a half is not bad.
But he's a weapon master with his Stormglaives and melee.
Plus you can snipe those glaive shots. Then go up to 7. What's his rat? 6?
Yeah.
Okay.
Also they go up to 8.
Yeah. So so he's a weapon master, so he's a mat. He's speed 7, mat 9, pow 13, weapon master with 2 initials. He's fearless, has immunity to electricity, which was pretty obvious.
Mm.
Has dodge, riposte, steady.
Really?
And
Jesus.
Swift vengeance. So for those of you who don't remember, swift vengeance is if one or more friendly warrior models are destroyed or removed from play by enemy attacks while within 5 inches of this model during your opponent's last turn. After resolving continuous effects, this model can make a full advance followed by a normal melee.
So
attack.
It's like Hallowed Avenger, but for a person.
Well, it's like Righteous Vengeance, but called something. It's literally Righteous Vengeance.
Yeah. That's the Menite name for it for the Jacks that have it. Fire of Salvation.
What's the rule that Kithcar solo has?
Righteous Vengeance. It's literally Righteous
Vengeance.
It's
different.
How's it different?
Because this is friendly warrior models. Those are
friendly
factions. That's why they had to rename it, because he's a...
Okay, got it. So it's
but otherwise, yes, it is exactly the same. Swift Vengeance. It sounds better.
That's pretty
it
good.
Does.
He wasn't out at Lock and Load, right?
No.
He's got 5 wounds.
Yeah. Otherwise, we would have known.
Yeah, we would have known what his rules were. Yeah. Jeez, I'm like, why did he buy that model? Oh, that's right, he was out.
Oh, so I'm going to need another model from Gen Con. Mm.
He's got 5 wounds.
Oh, this
and
guy?
And here's his downfall. He's 3 points.
That's fine.
Sound, with all those rules, why not?
Okay.
Yeah, did you say he only works for Sigdar?
Yep.
Okay.
Like, and he fits right into my Haley 3 list with Stormblades.
Hooray!
Why? What? He doesn't do anything for him.
Well, I mean, he benefits from the Stormblade captains, and he gets to charge out there and then clear off my
trenchers.
Are
you sure Stormblade captains not
it's
friendly
Stormblades.
Faction?
It's
That's pretty cool. That's good.
I would not expect to see this guy see very much play.
Really?
Just
because of 3 points?
3 points is an awkward number.
It is.
He's got 2 POW 13 weapon master attacks.
Mm-hmm.
On a 10 and a half inch threat base. That's not bad at all.
I can see people building lists to make use of that guy in a very difficult to deal with fashion.
Yeah, in any MSU style list, I think this guy goes in. Especially in Sigmar, they didn't have like a great MSU.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was, they could make a really good list with Haley too. Oh my god, this guy with Haley too.
Did you make an MSU with Probably Siege? With I don't Haley remember.
I mean my, but it's like it boosted POW 12. That's all.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. That guy with temporal acceleration is kind of sweet. 12.5 inch threat. 3.
Or when he's def 17, so he's actually a problem to
yeah,
kind of deal
also
with.
Haley 3. He's def 17.
15-15 is very solid for defensive stats.
Yeah. That's fine
yeah.
My concern also is it's just like one value shot, and you're just like, 3 points down. Nice.
Yeah.
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 I'm saying, I think he's solid. I don't think he'll see much play.
Okay.
I think I'll play them all the time. So
I just like new toys. And I like new Thamorites, because I'm still trying to build in my head a sweet Fiona Thamorite list that uses a bunch of them.
Oh, I thought you were going to go the
isn't like,
direction.
Isn't there only like one Thamorite that's like
Alexia, no, it's not a Thamorite. Not a Thamorite. Ragman and...
It's basically Ragman.
Is that it? No, there's got to be other Thamorites in that.
They'll come to my brain if there are any. I mean, okay. Technically Fiona.
Just
and the, and then the dudes that she makes Thamorites. With Dark Cultists or whatever.
Legit.
The Sea Dog Cultists.
Yeah.
Because yeah. I've wanted to paint up a Fiona Thamorite list. And then I want to put it on a sweet, like, black boat.
Are those new pirate dudes?
That's going to be, like, the thing. They're Kricks. They work for Kricks, so I couldn't even take them with that.
No, I'm just wondering if they are. The new
are they Thamorite?
Devil's Rejects guys.
No.
I don't remember.
I don't think they're Thamorite.
Yeah, whatever.
They might be, but I don't know.
Well, they only work for Kricks and...
Kricks.
So 4-star only, meaning you can't take them and him in the same list.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty awesome. That'd be pretty awesome if we could, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
This guy seems worth it.
Yeah. What else has been spoiled? Anything else?
Nope.
Okay.
Got a
that was it for Fox News and announcements.
Wait, one more.
In the butt. Lance is like, oh, okay.
Well, one more Fox News and announcement. God damn it, I can't believe
he
Fox.
Said it.
Congratulations to Brandon Shirley for qualifying for War Machine Weekend at the Colorado Rocky Mountain Rumble. I heard that the event was quite good. They had 44 attendees, and he came out on top and got the invitational spot.
Nice.
So good for him, and congratulations to...
Whoop.
Everybody went out there and had a good time.
Nice.
It was in the back of a brewery. That would have been an amazing
yeah.
game to play at. So, well done on that. I look forward to going to one of those in the next year or so. I think that'd be a fun event to go to. Colorado's about 9 hours away or so from Iowa, and if you're with friends, it's not as terrible of a drive as everybody makes it sound like.
It's got Nebraska.
9 hours is like nothing.
Yeah, it's not much
no, compared to like 22.
Nothing.
Compared to like 22
Literally,
or 24.
Nebraska.
All right. So we will look forward to going out there and congratulations to Sam Hake and the other guys out there for running a successful event and having and hopefully we'll see more from them in the future. So that's it for my news announcement.
Mm. Mm.
So main topic.
Yeah.
ADR season 2 2015.
Oh, also there was another tournament that was a qualifier. But
which one?
The Detroit qualifier.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Who won there?
Trevor the Great actually won, but he's already qualified.
So
I think
who was second?
It's a Canadian, and I don't remember his name. I wasn't
oh,
there.
Oh, they came over from Toronto.
Yeah, I wasn't there. I just heard.
Was it Terrence?
Terrence and Phillip, yeah.
Hang on, I want to make sure.
You weren't supposed to. You literally just Will Smithed it right there.
We're not like, in
what
the
are we, some
and
sort
Phillip
of Suicide Squad?
Terrence and Phillip podcast right here.
Hang on, let me see. They'll have announced it.
You explain the.
That's actually just what we do. That's what we've been built off of.
Yeah.
Explaining our jokes, Nick.
Yep. We know who we are.
They haven't announced who the winners are.
Is that a Kesha song?
No.
Isn't that a Kesha song?
Does she even?
GigaCon.
Is she still alive?
I mean, she hasn't made anything, so in the world of, like, celebrities. No, she's dead.
She's dead.
Who's dead?
Kesha.
All that cocaine.
Oh, we're still talking about Kesha.
All that cocaine finally got to her.
Okay, nobody has said who won. This is terrible.
Yeah,
no, Trevi. So Chris Orr. Chris Orr from Canada.
Chris Orr who?
Orr. O-R-R.
I'm not high-fiving
you.
Come
on, that was good.
Gets the Invitational since Trev was already qualified. So congratulations to Chris Orr for winning that. GigaCon.
I thought he was going to do it again.
I'm sorry. I couldn't do it again.
You should have done it again, Fox.
No, congratulations.
Or
I'm trying to see if anybody won. They didn't announce who won. Oh, Brian Wright won Masters.
Sweet guy.
I don't know who won. They didn't say who won the whole thing. God damn you, people!
Who won the whole thing? What
for GigaCon? That was the Atlanta one. There were three qualifiers last weekend.
Every time I hear GigaCon, I just think of the stupid Chappelle show. I don't know why.
That's not what I think of.
So whoever won that one, congratulations. We'll get your name later when they actually post it. But congratulations to Chris Orr and Brandon Shirley for getting War Machine Weekend qualifier spots. Now, stop with the jokes, and let's go on to the main topic, finally.
Yeah, so the new season of ADR is coming up.
Yeah.
We have a tournament on Saturday here at the local shop.
Is it Masters?
I don't know.
It can be anything.
I hope it's Masters.
He was taking suggestions, I think.
Okay,
I think it's Masters.
I'm going to suggest it be Masters.
I think like one person suggested Masters. So yeah, it'll probably be Masters.
It was Salmon's.
But then it's on the old ADR because it's not technically the 7th.
Dave can do whatever he wants to.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, I'm just going to put Morvana on ADR.
Dave will actually just let you play old seasons at ADR and the seasons. And you can mix and match those casters.
Nice.
Very possible.
Retribution.
Sorry, Rhett. You're down two casters.
Wait, what? No, they just get to play Ron and Osiris.
Or Ron and Virus.
Yeah. All right.
Technically, they would only have six casters in the ADR.
Suck it, Convergence. You get to play all your casters. All right. So last time we did a bunch of dojos, and then I think I dojo Chromac too, and then I mentioned that I was going to test it with Shadowhorn, Griffins. That's not a thing.
Satyr?
Yet.
The unplayable Griffin that has the...
Oh.
I'm going to call it Poop Griffin. So I was going to test out Poop Griffins.
Razor Wings?
No. Those are the good ones.
You literally played with it, not Rotterhorn.
Those are the other good ones.
What would happen if a Rotterhorn and a Riphorn...
Scarfell.
...got together?
God dang it. All right, so the...
Scarfell Griffins.
The Scar Poop Griffin.
Yeah, there you go.
So the Scarsville Griffins, I did try them out. They are probably just worse than Razor Wings, so I'm going to go back to Razor Wings. Extended controller area came up because I had to clear out two zones, and I wanted to dominate and control a zone, and like one random Griffin had to go kill something else, and he was outside of my caster's control area about like a quarter of an inch or something.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, extended control area. It came up. It's a super relevant rule. Or I could have just positioned my caster a quarter inch further to the left, and then I wouldn't have had this problem.
Yeah.
But you didn't.
Hey,
it's relevant.
It's
nor relevant. Did you have to.
So it saved me.
Yeah.
Thank you, extended control area.
You're welcome.
It's actually a pretty sweet rule, and you just weren't taking advantage of it.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
For those of you who don't remember, my Chromac list was two Stalkers, a Shadowhorn Griffin, two Razor Wings, Gorax, Druids with UA, one unit of stones, and a Druid Wilder. I cut the two Razor Wings and tried two Scarsvilles after discussion with a couple of people online. Because I found that Razor Wings were kind of good at assassinating people because they can just like trample up to casters and buy attacks or whatever. And Flight's just a sweet rule because you just get to ignore all the things. And someone had mentioned that, like, the Shadowhorn could be sweet because you could put Chromax. What's that spell that Zal has? Awakened Spirit?
Yes.
Yeah.
The free spell, or the free Animus one. You can put that on the Shadowhorn. Ah, I keep messing this up. On the Poop Griffin.
Scarfell.
Yeah, the Poop Griffin. I call it Poop Griffin. Because then it gets to do its Animus for free, and its Animus costs 2 and is ranged itself, and it gives it parry. So it can then charge and not take free strikes from all the stuff it's charging over.
I thought it already had that rule where it doesn't take free strikes.
Nope, that is the one. That's the Razor Wing.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking of, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the Scarsfell was not super sweet. I'm going to test it a couple more times. Chromac 2 is just sweet and makes me want to play, like, all the lights that I traditionally struggle to make worthwhile. And you just, like, dial some up to, like, 11.
Sure.
So that way they're actually, like, good.
The +2 strength and arm is that what the feat is, right?
Yeah.
So that can turn moderately, you know, powerful lights into very heavy hitting lights.
Mm-hmm. So since that guy is going to be on ADR.
Mm-hmm. What's the rest of your options?
And I've been playing the crap out of him. I kind of think I want to do ADR.
Sure.
I don't actually know. Because the casters that are on there, the problem with the casters that were on there prior to Chromac coming out is not a single one of them has a way of fixing armor at all. So it's Morvana 1.
Who fixing armor, you mean cracking armor?
Like an armor debuff, a strength buff.
Yeah.
They put the 3 casters in circle that have an armor swing on in the first rotation. Because they were like...
It's like Curse of Shadows.
Because
Curse
they knew Chromac was coming.
It was the 2 Curse of Shadows casters and then Kaya. And I was like,
So isn't
next
Chromac,
rotation's going to suck.
Isn't your armor cracking in your Chromac list?
It can be. Right. But so here's what the other casters are. It's Morvana 1, who basically doesn't benefit from ADR because she still loses to... The
purification
same things,
yeah.
The regardless of how you sideboard,
mm-hmm.
P. Kaya, who is a caster I really like and am kind of intrigued by.
What?
You shut your mouth.
Yeah, shut up.
She's no E. Kaya.
So
P. Kruger and Baldur 2, and of those casters, the ones that intrigue me the most are P. Kruger and P. Kaya.
Yeah, P. Kruger just handles all your infantry problems.
He does, sort of.
Right.
In, like, infantry just, like, don't exist anymore.
Lies.
I don't know if
yeah,
that's
they
necessarily
just
true. But
yeah,
Crix is still a thing.
It is. So, yeah, I'm thinking of it being Kruger 1 with Chromac 2.
Also, Haley 3 is still a thing. We'll just Signar in general.
Yeah,
just Signar.
That was my kind of concern. I think Kruger could probably play that game, though. And I think...
Yeah, you just feet on the back of the infantry army and then kill the entire front part of it, and then she can't revive anything.
Yeah.
Because you killed, you wiped the whole unit off the table.
Well, I'd probably just use my feet to kill, like, the trencher unit, which is really lame and annoying.
Yep.
Right.
But I mean, I just ADR out of it and then bring in my 8 wound models, my warders.
That's how that works.
Signar warders. Hell yeah.
Oh god, if they get like an 8 wound Morrowind unit that isn't like 12-15.
That's a 15-15.
I hope that's what our paladin units are. Come on, Privateer Press.
So one thing that
give me medium base Anson Durst 8 wound paladin models.
Mm-hmm.
Alright, go ahead.
I played Chromac back at Daikon. I paired Chromac with Kaya. Which was interesting because they play very similar like lists, but they bring different strengths to the table, such as like Chromac is good into things that Kaya is bad into, such as Legion, because he's got that stupid hyper aggressive spell, which is actually relevant in that matchup.
Also, +2 armor is kind of relevant, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And he himself is just tankier, like doesn't just die to like 2-rap 4 shots.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, just with Carnage, because, like, the, like, angels are a problem to deal with. Like, Carnage just makes all of your stuff not have to worry about hitting as much. And then Chromac at Daikon was weak into things like Signar. I don't love, because I have druids in my Chromac lists. And typically Signar players bring gun mages or Nis, which just murder a unit of druids. And playing 9 points down is always really bad. But for some reason, Sindar players haven't been playing Gun Mages lately, and it's making me so happy.
Yeah, that would make me really happy.
I mean, I'm playing with, like, you're playing with Epic Haley still. You don't play with Haley 3.
Yeah, I know. It's glory.
It's just because you're seeing all the Haley 3 all the time.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Sweet. So I played Chromac into Haley 3, I think, two or three times now.
Mm-hmm. Do you like the matchup?
I don't love it. The lists vary enough. I don't usually struggle with, like, Trench or Clouds because I'm playing Hordes, so stuff can, like, trample up and kill them.
Right.
And Chromac, like, could just feed defensively because most things in Signar are not very high armor, including their Warjacks, except for the ones that have, like, Arcane Shield. The couple of struggles I found is the only magical weapon in the list that can effectively kill the Haleys is the man himself. There's Druids, but they, like, can't hit them at def 19 reliably, and then, like, can't do damage because they, like, camp to armor 18.
Right.
So what I'm thinking is playing the Chromac list that I've been playing. I'm still working on that. I want to try it with, like, Winter Argai and a bunch of other varieties of lights.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like the list needs to have more magical weapons in it. Just,
you got druids. You're getting, that's all you need.
So what I put in the sideboard is more armor cracky stuff.
Okay.
And a pure blood. So a pure blood
to blast weapons
is kind of more armor cracking because it gives me blessed.
Right.
Gives me access to magic weapons. It still is good at infantry clearing because it's got a range 10 spray.
Mm.
In this list, it can get up to, like, mat 10, palpal strength 20. So, like, that can hit just high enough. The other sideboard is a Riporn. So when there's matchups that I don't need, like, Razorwing Griffins in, I can side them out.
Right.
And, like, bring in, like, another heavy.
Sure.
Plus
that 10-inch spray, I mean, that would let you kind of snipe out those, Haley Echoes that come a little too far forward.
Yeah. If only that ever worked for me.
Does it just not, or?
Every time I die, it's just crap.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Like,
it's legit ability, just doesn't happen for you.
Their stats are really good.
Yeah.
No, I know they are.
This is like,
I've tried to also kill them. But a boostable
spray 19, 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's real life.
And it's POW 14 on the spray?
Yeah. It's blast, so, I mean, it's realistically like
17, 18.
Yep.
So boosted 12s.
Yep.
Which isn't great.
Yeah, it's
pretty bad. And then dice off, you said 6?
Yeah.
So no, dice off. Dice off 4.
Yep.
And then they recast, and then Haley recasts the next turn.
That's fine.
Which is fine. We want that to happen.
I mean,
for your opponent, that's actually what you have to do.
Yeah, we have to keep killing the Haleys so that you're not sitting in a full focus camp every time you.
I mean, no, she never sits in a full focus camp.
Well, because you're constantly recasting.
Iterations are so freaking hard to kill.
Yeah, they are.
Like,
thank God.
It's actually so stupid.
It is very stupid.
Like, they're harder to kill than Saren and Ryze that are actual war, like, blocks.
They don't have transfers.
Oh, God.
One good damage roll takes him out.
Yeah, it has to be
mean one amazing to hit roll and one amazing damage roll.
Yeah.
Happens. Having pure blood access would give it's me, good. Like, oh, now Warwolf Saga has magical weapons, so Warwolf can, like, kill one of them.
And then maybe they still need, like, infinites to hit, but, yeah, whatever.
Right.
11's to hit.
Nines.
Okay. I mean, oh, primal. Oh, I'm actually even more okay with this.
Carnage.
Eh.
Boosh.
You won't get that close.
With Chromac?
I mean, if you put your iterations in your deployment zone, yeah, I won't get to them.
Yeah.
He'd
get close with Chromac.
So that's that list. I haven't really thought a ton about Kruger. I leaned back on a list that I built a while back.
Ugh, Kruger, no.
I miss playing that guy.
Gross, get out of here.
It's
I don't see
just
Kruger 1 at all anymore.
That's because we're in a very high armor, high box
right.
meta.
Keep playing Chromac 2 into me.
No, that matchup's getting better. So what I had built last time, I had played him, and I actually like this list quite a bit. It was Kruger with two Feral Warpals, which is very unusual for me. A Warpal Stalker, Gorax, Druids with UA, two units of Shifting Stones, no UAs, and then two units of World Stalkers. This is, might need a little updating because I built this list after the Rotohorn came out, I'm pretty sure. But sort of the plan is that Feral Warples, warping for speed, can sprint 8 inches. So I Lightning Tendrils. I upkeep Lightning Tendrils on one. That one gets sprint. Charges in 11 inches or whatever. Kills a bunch of stuff. Sprints back 8 inches if I need to warp for speed, which will happen quite frequently. Then Kruger Ghost, which is Lightning Tendrils to the other one, sprints that one. That one goes and kills some stuff and then sprints backwards. And then Druids go and make a Cloud Wall, so that way the heavies have effectively no retaliating. And then there's World Stalkers just as guns to clean up charge lanes and whatever. The sideboard for this one is super lame, but it's just so I can deal with armor. So the sideboard is currently 2 Riporns, Gallows Grove, and the Swamp Gobbers. So I can just side out like both World Stalkers and the Druids and just put in 2 more heavies. So that way I can have 5 heavies. So if I have to crack armor, I have enough dudes.
Yeah.
That's sort of the thought process there.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I played this Kruger list like once. I think it was against you. It was. That was sweet. That was a sweet list. I just never came back to it. But I don't know. That's where I'm thinking about taking Circle on ADR for this next rotation. I might try and figure out something with Pikaia. Unfortunately, all of the tech I have with Pikaia is just like better with Chromac 2. So
yeah.
Kind of sucks.
Yep. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, you gonna play that ADR?
Maybe. Mm. I mean, I will this Saturday if I can.
Yeah.
If I can break the rules.
I'm almost certain it's a Masters.
I mean, Sunday. It's Sunday, right?
It's Sunday.
Yeah.
I will never play ADR.
Sunday.
Because of Epicale.
Then Epicale will never be on ADR.
Don't worry, she'll be on ADR.
Oh, that's right. They mentioned they're going to go through everybody at some point. They just got to be really careful of who they pair that up with, so it's not just gross.
I mean, it's going to be gross regardless.
Or they'll put her on ADR when Age of Sigmar happens for this game.
Yeah.
So the game
on ADR, everybody.
The game literally doesn't matter anymore.
No, I actually think ADR is pretty good for Sigmar. And
yeah, it's Nemo 2, Carousalone, Kane 1.
Yep.
Sturgis. Sturgis the last man.
Mm-hmm. And Haley
3.
I mean, well, it's just Haley 3 and like your pick of Sloane or
God, Haley 3 pisses me off.
Or
Kane or K-Fresh.
Yeah.
No, the reason Haley pisses me off is like last year was the 10th anniversary of War Machine.
Yeah.
And then the Butcher came out at Gen Con, and that was it, except for the Hordes book also came out.
Last year was not the 10th anniversary, but yeah.
2 years ago, whatever.
Yeah.
Was it 2 years ago?
Okay. Yep.
2 years
I think
ago.
So, yeah.
Butcher did not come out last Gen Con.
Yeah, you're right. So it was like Gen Con, Butcher happens, sweet all War Machine, happy birthday. Here's a Hordes book on the side, because the Hordes book like was slotted to just release at that time. And then the Hordes 10th anniversary happens. It's like, oh, 10th anniversary box. Oh, it's a bunch of crap no one cares about. Here's this Haley 3 model that also came out. A happy birthday, Hordes players. Just like a little awkward. But
yeah. It wasn't awkward at all, actually. But, yeah, whatever.
Colin, you don't know what it's like to be
they definitely,
awkward.
They definitely please more War Machine players more than Hordes players. I think just in general. They cater to War Machine a little bit more.
Are there more War Machine players?
I have no idea what the
neither do I
what the population is.
Words is terrible, and they don't deserve any respect.
That's what everybody's trying to say is true, but I don't know if that's necessarily the fact. But
I mean, whatever. I said it, and it's a fact.
Oh, okay,
that's how that works.
Colin's opinions are all facts, everybody.
Facts,
news,
fact,
news
after
at 11.
Fact after fact.
Haley 2 is right. Terrible caster. Never play her.
Okay, so do you know
very
what
true.
Of fact. Those four you would play paired with Haley 3? Just high level.
I mean,
like you don't have to go into
I'm just
going to
do Pekane. I think Pekane is a strong pairing.
Sure.
Because
Is that where you were playing him the other night? You were trying to test him for ADR pairing?
Yep.
Yep.
I mean, I didn't actually, like, I actually have a hard time practicing ADR because I don't like subbing out my list.
Sure.
Yeah. It's a little rough.
Yeah. Well, like, you just do your main list and play it, and then if you found faults in it or problems, then you play the next one with the ADR as you would sub it in, and then play that, and then see how it works, and then just get experience with both lists.
Yeah. I mean, my list is just, like, because my PK list is just two Centurions and then guns.
Right.
So it's not really...
So what do you benefit from ADR?
I get to take out a Centurion.
Okay, well, that's 9 of your 20 points.
I mean, that's all that, that's all that matters. Actually.
He gets to sub in one shooting like, unit for another shooting unit.
No, it's probably like I get to take out one Centurion for like Boomhallers. Right. Or,
oh,
like,
boy.
I mean, the whole reason why the Centurions are in the list are to gum up scenario.
Yep.
And if it's a spread scenario, two Centurions is not as good as one Centurion and Boomhallers. Like, but, I mean, there might be something else in there. Like, I might actually get really goofy with my list at some point. And, like, I know me and Nigel were talking about running Pirates with BKane. It's actually just really stupid. And it is really stupid. Or, like...
Seems kind of okay.
Even double Colossal lists with BKane.
Yeah.
Might also be really sweet. Hurricane with Snipe, pretty good.
Sure.
Stormwall with Snipe, Galleon with Snipe, like...
Deadeye.
Yep.
That sounds pretty fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna get really freaky with this.
All right.
Actually my Halo 3 list has already gotten really freaky. It's pirates and just 50.
Just get away from Nigel. Just don't let him. He's gonna put pirates in everything.
And I put pirates in everything.
Oh, that's true.
Get a pirate up you.
Put a pirate on
he
them.
Got scurvy. Right.
Fox, Crix, ADR, anything you're interested in?
No. Not really.
No.
I mean,
is it Gorshe 3? Then probably not.
Yeah, no.
It's Sturgis Benathrax?
Is Terminus on this one? Or?
It is Sturgis, Benathrax, Lich 1, and Terminus.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I've played P-Lich. I enjoy...
Terminus? So it's like Lich 1 and
Terminus. I enjoy... Yeah.
Not that that's a great
just
pairing.
Two casters that don't help anything hit ever.
And Denny 3 when she shows but... up.
There are no mad fixers on this.
Well, Terminus is malediction.
Denny 3 has mortality.
I know. Oh, also Denny 3. That could be a thing.
Denny 3 will be on.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Savior.
I mean, that's what it's like for this entire second season. It feels like
no.
The new caster is a savior for the rest of whatever's on ADR.
Not Signar.
Yeah,
Haley 3.
K Fresh and PKN were actually that's super strong pairing.
No one was gonna do that.
I was gonna do that.
Uh huh. So then do it.
Well, you're a fool.
I can still do it.
He's like smirking. He's like, yeah, he's I'm like, not gonna.
I wasn't smirking Haley until 3. You could like until you said I was smirking.
Got him.
You were smirking before.
Got
that.
You good.
You liar.
Yeah.
Does Sturgis have one?
That's just because I farted and you guys didn't notice.
No.
We're all dead.
Lovely. I don't believe he does.
Hopefully somebody releases
like
this podcast because we're all dead.
Parasite, yeah. Scything Touch.
That's the two Parasite casters.
No, he doesn't have Scything Touch.
Oh, I thought he did.
Nope.
What Teleport, Parasite, Occultation, Convection, Blood Rain.
Oh, yeah, he has Blood Rain. I forgot about that.
Purple
God, he's
rain.
So broken. He has Teleport. Keith probably just plays this guy constantly.
Ring, yeah, he's just.
Actually, why does Keith not play him constantly?
Because he's a very bad caster.
Yeah.
But he has teleport, and that was his whole spiel back like in the old Muse episodes.
Yeah, it's got to be teleport plus a bunch of crazy bananas stuff for to pass Keith's muster.
Yeah, it has to be broken as balls.
Right.
But technically, his spiel was teleport.
Is there a Hordes caster with teleport? I just thought about this. Favoring that war machine again.
It's Abby 2.
Yep. The new one.
That's right.
Yep, that's right. Does
that's it.
Is there anybody else?
Morgul's don't sprint, right? You can sprint them, but...
Correct.
Yeah. The P Morgul has sprint.
Yeah. That's... Lost it for some reason.
Forgot how to.
He's like, I forgot how to be good at this!
I forgot how to be a good war caster.
I got hit with the bat too hard in Mark 1. They broke my legs. I can't sprint anymore.
Who's made of Nerf.
When did he turn into Morty?
I'm sorry, Rick.
He's been burping a lot.
Yeah. Okay. Menoth.
Lance.
Yes. I have Durst ADR Dojo.
So on the ADR is apparently going to be Durst for some reason.
Mm.
I don't know why. Amon Edraza, Fiora 1, Reznak 1, and Vinny D.
I think I would pair Vinny D with this. We'll see. Let's go through what I got.
Okay.
This is what I built on the way back from Lock and Load, having the caster in front of me and attempting to build it relatively late at night. So I probably made some mistakes. The ADR on this, the problem is with the ADR that I've built with this is that it's playing a unit that I've never played before because I don't own them. But I feel like this might be enough of a change, but still be similar to where it covers the same role.
Is it Crow's Cutthroats?
No.
Damn it.
All right. So it's Anson, Hierophant, Devout, Reckoner. Pretty standard base loadout for him. Two Knights Exemplar Seneschals, the Book, two Vassals, Reclaimer, because I like it, focus efficiency and all the troops that are going to be in this will be interesting. Piper, Exemplar Errants with UA and a Seneschal, Nicaea, Min Choir is the main list. So it's a fair amount of troops with some Jag support. It plays kind of a mixed arms game that should take on a fair amount of all comers. The specialists, and I had to kind of play with the points a little bit here so that there was even trade out. I haven't really worked with ADR much other than what we've done on the podcast.
I frequently post sideboard play a point down.
Oh my.
That's probably not a bad idea, but I was trying to fit exactly like 13 points of things over into stuff.
Colin's jizzing in his pants.
I just had a realization that I have to play pirates in my ADR list.
Why?
Because it's ADR.
There you go. Folks.
Thank you, Chili.
And
Lance, what were you saying?
Yeah. So that's my main army. The sideboard is Idrian skirmishers, which are the ones I don't have.
Yeah.
But having prey, CRA, CMA, dig in, camouflage, pathfinder. I mean, they do similar things that the errants would do, and I'd basically be just subbing out the errants boat for that instead. I also have Gorman DeWolf, Rax, and a Vigilant, which is the girded, shielded kind of light.
Yeah.
Just for an additional jack option to hold zones, benefit from the feat, and essentially just be annoying. So that is the ADR that I have for Durst. I don't know whether it's any good. I don't know whether subbing the skirmishers out for errants is a better or worse or enough of a change to make it worth its while, and I was trying to remember what I was thinking of when I did it, but it's been a few months, so I don't know exactly.
Yeah,
but I wrote it in there at least as an ADR and trying to fit that material together. The other thing I was trying to think of is, okay, what else can I put in there instead? I mean, and that would be enough of a difference, and that would be things like Bastions or Knight's Exemplar, which I know you hate, and you know, because they're really predictable threat ranges, but when you can...
I do hate them.
But when you can get Jacks up there, pile them all into base-to-base with them, and know that they're going to survive that turn and then threat out afterwards, it can be kind of interesting. The problem is it takes all the range stuff off the board other than the two Reckoners, which isn't really a lot. I kind of want a little bit more of a mixed arm race to kind of kill stuff as it comes in so that they can survive during the feat turn, and then the Jacks can clean up whatever they miss. So, thoughts, concerns, questions. And then, so if I was to do a Vinny list, the Vinny list would basically be a troop spam type situation. Might even do a tier. I really like his tier
list. Yeah, there's no real point to doing it in ADR, though.
No, it isn't. Because you can't really sideboard stuff out. But it would make him a lot more, him playing in ADR would be more interesting because you just swap out the different troop boats that you would need. So if you want to help me live build a Vinny D tier ADR list, I'm fine with that as well, but... otherwise, the other person I was thinking of would be Resnick, but Resnick does similar stuff to what Anson does, just not as well. So I felt like to actually play a completely different list, playing somebody like Vinny D would be the option. Or Fiora 1, of course, could be played. I'm not a big fan of her feat, and I haven't been able to really play her well. But I think there's something there as well. So there's options for ADR.
I was going to say, I do like her a lot.
Yeah. Do you like her better than Divinity?
I don't know.
Her feat, I've played her twice, which is nowhere near enough to say that I have a definitive grasp on the character. But when my feat is reliant on my my opponent not rolling ones and twos and they roll a bunch of them, the feat feels kind of like a, oh, you know, like I can't even get something that will for sure happen. I mean, at least she could have done it with kept caustic presence so that the fires all at least stay, you know, for Christ's sake.
I mean, that would be dumb.
Okay.
If your feat was just kill your opponent,
on fire and
not
you die.
Heavies.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure, why not? Game balance?
Anyway, but having them roll them all out and take no damage feels kind of like a, oh, good, I'm playing without a feat, and I've put my caster far enough forward that I might be screwed this round or whatever. So, yes, that I'm feeling like some sort of a little bit maybe more troop-heavy caster, because he's kind of the jack, armor-cracking, get stuff done material. I need someone that covers a little bit more of a big field, because Anson does tend to move in a brick.
Yeah.
And so armies that can jam you or crack that brick tend to be problematic, so I would need something to pair with that that would do the opposite.
So it's Vindictus, Fiora, Resnick.
Amon.
Come on, Mon.
I do have a decent Amon list that would be kind of fun to play. But I don't feel... I mean, he does, again, kind of a similar thing that Durst does. Unless I play a full light jack spam, which I'm not going to. A, I'm not going to buy a bunch of light jacks to play this guy. And B, I don't think it solves any of Durst's problems.
I'd probably say Fiora, but I don't know.
I feel like I just need to get better at Fiora.
Fiora versus Krix is kind of an issue.
It's always Vindictus.
Yeah. Making them take a damage every time they kill one of my guys and sack pawning it off.
Yeah, but he's killing one of your guys for one of his guys. That probably just recurs.
Lighting all the Necrosurgeons on fire is pretty sweet, though.
That's pretty sweet. Yeah, you'd have to build a pretty weird list, I think.
Yeah.
I usually don't like my stuff being lit on fire.
I mean, you roll it out constantly.
He's
like, I hate this. Roll it out.
I hate this.
I hate this so much. I don't want to deal with it. Oh, I didn't have to.
I don't always roll it out.
Okay.
Yeah, like, no, I don't.
Get bile thralls on fire.
You go with 9 times
That's
out of
pretty
10.
Good.
9 times out of 10, Fox. Fox doesn't always roll it out, but when he does...
It's always.
Yes. Yep, exactly. Lance got it.
It happens every time.
Still, though.
It doesn't always roll it out, but when it does,
still,
it happens every time.
But still, the feeling of having my stuff
like, God,
being lit on fire sucks.
Oh, this feels so bad. So, I don't know, you could play
yeah,
like...
Yeah, exactly.
You could play like Repenters. You could... I mean, you could put Adjudicator in there if you wanted to. Have a good time. I obviously wish it was Fiora 2 for the auto fire rolls, but
yeah, I wish a lot of my ADR casters were not the casters there, but
don't we all?
Well said, sir. Well said.
Don't we all?
So you think we should build a Fiora 1 list that is anti-Krix?
Well,
let's think about what is Durst's bad matchup, and let's pick the caster that makes the most sense to match off against
it.
I don't even think Durst is that bad would
I'm
be that bad
to
against
figure
Krix.
Out what your sort of game plan with this Durst list is, because like, why swap out Errants for Idrians other than just why, I guess. I mean
it's just a different one. The Idrians would be, if I was facing off against a bunch of single boot infantry, the Idrians would be if I was facing a lot of heavy armored infantry that I could CRA, CMA into. Because you can't do that with the Errants. Mm-hmm. And then you're praying them and that additional type stuff. Plus, if the board gives me opportunity to use things like camouflage and dig in and that sort of thing, if they have blast damage, stuff like that. Like, it would be... It's a fixer, not in the fact that they're different units, but that they have the different benefits.
Okay.
Does that answer the question?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and I was trying to... I think that's what my answer was when I was building them the first time. But otherwise, I'm trying to think of what other infantry Menoth has access to that would do something different than that, other than, like, zealots or something.
Well, I mean...
that are just trying to feet and mini-feet. I just don't feel like Durst really helps zealots that much, other than I guess, feeding the turn before so that they can turn the feet after they survive being in Jax.
I mean, like, you've been playing Durst a little bit lately.
I have.
How have you felt, like, in how he plays, how he supports his army? Like, what sort of...
He doesn't really support... directly support any of his troops with anything other than deflection. Or, yeah, deflection. The +2 armor bonus. Which is beneficial for things with automatically high armor already. Which is why, you know, 15 errants are interesting to make them a little bit less auto-killable and things. It's also great for paladins and Vilmon and that sort of thing. Which might be something else I'd be looking at doing for an ADR. Maybe sideboarding in paladins when the opponent can't handle that sort of thing.
Mm. Yeah, it's worth it and annoying.
Right.
Pretty annoying. God.
But then you're looking at, if you want to do Vilmon in the 2, you're looking at 7 points to sideboard out on top of with the 12 point error if I took out the errants instead or something. Oh, you get rid of like the seneschals maybe. I don't know. The seneschals are in there for the same reason that those would be, just being solos and being annoying.
Yeah.
And then I have the reclaimer in there obviously to do this to soul fuel Jax.
Yeah, this caster sucks.
What caster?
I don't know. I still...
You think Ansa Durst sucks?
No. I still just want you to try the All the Robots version. And
This was built before we had the All the Robots conversation. So if I build the All the Robots thing and throw specialists on it, I could try to fit in the stuff you're asking for.
Well, in ADR, you can do All the Robots or some of the robots.
And
then put in infantry.
Like... Deflection is a sweet spell.
But
that's all he does. For infantry.
That's pretty much what I said, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's... I mean, in my experience playing with him, he does nothing... His troops have to be self-sufficient.
And how you've talked
Which
about...
doesn't seem that hard.
Anson Durst is you basically have to build around the feet. Because you can't take the Avatar because there's one spell that's really good with it.
That's not what I was saying.
I mean, that's what you just said.
No, I was saying, when I build lists, I typically like to leave characters out of it until I build a second list to pair with it. Then,
you've never said that about this.
That's why I don't put Gutterix in lists automatically.
Mm-hmm. We have very different philosophies.
Yeah, mine is
we're like water and oil. We just don't mix.
I mean, that's true.
Except you put all the characters in all your lists when you build lists.
Yeah, he fills the entire list full of characters.
I know.
And then he's like, oh, man, my other list has all the characters in it.
How I build a list is I put everything I want in the list. And then I figure out, all right, so how would I pair this list?
And then you're like, crap, I can't.
And either, like, that main list that I want is probably the list I'm going to play most often in a tournament because I only have to play the other list once. So then, like, that's the list I'm happy with. So if I'm good 4 out of the 5 rounds, I think I'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
So that's normally how
I think Fiora 1 would be just fine with Avatar.
Can you do that one spell, or is it just Battle Group?
Blazing Effigy says target friendly faction Warjack.
Okay, good.
Yeah, Fiora 1 is actually... I played against her for the first time.
Yeah?
Very recently, and it was very... I was playing PK.
Oh,
and Peking got set on fire.
Oh no, it didn't go out.
No, it didn't go out. I ended up winning on scenario, but
dice
I had very
off
little
one.
Boxes.
Suck it.
Just all game. Colin's like,
get it out.
Fix it.
I mean, Kane was still shooting like a boss.
I mean,
like,
you could throw
care.
You could throw ignite on that guy plus choir buff. That Avatar just goes to crazy town
or
all day. And then you put a wall of fire in front of them and have them cast gaze and make them walk into the firewall.
I now imagine that my Kane was basically just John Wick, like rolling around and like still shooting.
Yeah,
but he was on fire. So he's just like John Wick on fire, like rolling.
I don't
and
remember
shooting
John Wick being on fire.
I imagine him on fire.
Just imagine P. Kane as John Wick. Period.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
Right, yeah.
I mean, that was how I learned what gunfighting was.
Gun-fu.
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 Equilibrium.
That's what equilibrium's for.
I know, gun-fu.
You've seen Equilibrium, right?
Yeah, I have.
Colin?
No.
Wait, oh my gosh.
The Christian Bale gun fu futuristic
have the weird
world.
Poses when they shoot.
Yeah, yeah, it's super weird. Oh, you
need
to see that film.
Christian
Bale. Did he like push his mom down the stairs in this movie? Or?
Wow.
Okay.
I mean, this is the Batman that everybody loves. So, just saying, he did that.
Uh-huh. He was also in a terrible Terminator movie.
Yeah.
You're gonna hate him for that, though.
You absolutely can. I don't know. So here's my thought process on all the robots. Is if we build the rest all robots in Battle Group, it's like Hierophant, two Reckoners, four Repenters, two Devouts, two Vassals, two Choir, Min, Brax, Vassal Mechanic. There's 2 points left. I don't know what to do with. Yeah. There's a bunch of Marcellos.
Gorman DeWolf, why not?
Yeah, sure.
Sure.
And then the sideboard is two Heavies to swap out the four Repenters for. It's like Dealer's Choice. You could put in Vanquishers or Templars or whatever.
With whatever you're facing.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
With all the AoE and spray templates, you don't have to necessarily build another list that beats Crix as hard.
Yeah.
Right, because he can handle Crix just fine.
Yeah.
It would just be a matter of if I felt like fighting it based on what the two lists they have are.
I actually think I would prefer him to be Vanquishers, now that I think about it more. I had him in as Templars, but with Fox's comment, you're like, oh, I'm playing into Crix, and then just side out the two Reckoners for two Vanquishers. And then you're like, oh, I'm playing into armor. Then side out the two Repenters the four Repenters for two Vanquishers. Because Vanquishers are still, POW. Are they 16 base or are they 17?
Oh, on their little flails?
Yeah.
I don't remember either.
Survey says I'm calling 16. 16.
Okay.
You're calling it?
I hate that.
It's probably better than what I was doing. A little bit more. I was doing a little more mixed arms, but if you do the full armor, you do the full jack skew, and just side out all the amazing jacks that Menoth has access to, that's a pretty decent ADR.
It's kind of like based on remember back in the day when John was like playing Fiora 2 with like a bunch of jacks, 8 years ago, in Mark 1. I'm basing it on that philosophy, except it's with probably a better caster, and you get to choose which war jacks you want. Which is pretty sweet.
Yeah.
So you can four Vanquisher shots and four Repenter shots, or like two Vanquisher shots, four Repenter shots, and two ancillary attacks. Even without focus, there's enough. There's like 4 to 6 sprays and 2 to 4 AoEs that'll kill most of the infantry.
Mm.
Not having upkeeper.
What choir do you have? How many choir do you have in there? Max choir?
2 men. There's 2 points open in the main list.
Okay.
So that could be whatever. The other 2 points on the sideboard, I just threw in 2 vassals. So there's 2 points afloat in the main list and 2 points afloat on the sideboard to be whatever fits best with the other list.
Sure.
Okay. Colin's like, there's no avatar in it. I hate it.
Menoth is boring.
Menoth is. Dude, this Durst. I want to actually go back so I can play Durst.
I'm sure you could borrow Lance's models.
And then feel like a dick for just playing all the robots and being like, oh, high armor, high boxes, derp-a-derp.
Yeah.
I've played against all the robots
before. Keep that list. I want to put it in my war room later.
I'm going to just play more.
You frame that list, Nick.
Frame it. Put it on his wall.
There you go.
Right next to Harry Dresden and that dragon lady.
Katara from
Dragonlance.
And the dragon rocket
penis.
Wait, what?
Rocket Raccoon looks like he's coming out of.
Oh my god! His head is basically just Groot's penis.
There you go.
No, it's his bush.
You guys are all high. I do not see what you guys are talking about.
Squint a little bit. No, okay.
Yeah. Never.
Mind. God, who to pair this with? I don't hate Vindictus because he supports whatever. I don't know if we want upkeep removal. They only have access to like one upkeep thing, right? It's just Eris. Outside of purification casters, which aren't on ADR.
Right? Just Eris. We have Ornn Midwinter to stop.
He is not a purification caster.
He said to stop upkeeps, and I guess it doesn't
That's
even
a
do
fact.
That. But yes.
It's not okay. And stop upkeeps.
Just stop spellcasting.
One of them have Hex Blast? Yes.
Yes, Fiora 1 does.
No, she has Hex.
Hammer?
Hex Cube. I don't
Hex
know.
Bolt.
I don't know. She's something bad. Hex Hammer. Yeah, she
Hex
has
Hammer.
Hex Hammer.
Okay.
When an enemy casts a spell in her control area, they take D6.
Ooh.
But you know who that spell. Who does.
What's her control here? Like 100?
12.
Can't you spell that spell?
Resnick 1 actually has Hex Blast.
I don't hate Resnick.
Really? I don't, like that MSU style one that we came up forever ago.
And
that,
we have all the characters.
That YOLO
available.
Dojo.
You loved it, Colin.
Ew.
Look at him. He loved
it.
The Ocean's 18,
What's
but in Mena.
Everything. It's I don't such, know.
You're just like, Walls, no focus of fury. You're dead.
If you want to know the list we're talking about, go back to episode 2.
No, we'll just rebuild it.
No, I have it right here, man.
No, that's not fun.
Oh, my God.
It was not episode 2.
I'm joking, Fox.
It did not look like you were joking.
It was like episode 10.
He was
super serious. It was not episode 10. It was
like episode
a fairly recent episode.
5.
It was not 5.
Teen Schmeen.
Okay. It was
episode 64. I'm sorry.
It was Resnick, Hierophant, and Two Reckoners, Eris 2, Gaston, Tristan with a Devout and Redeemer.
Okay, well, we can't put Eris 2 on this list. That probably has to be in the other one.
Right.
So that way we have upkeep and removal on both lists.
Oh, in both lists. Okay. You want your cake and eat it too. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you can just Hex Blast her and then that doesn't. And then you automatically hit yourself with the Hex Blast and you knock off the upkeep.
Uh-huh. Except for Body and Soul can't start with upkeeps on your caster.
But when they eventually pursue you, like, it's going to happen.
Already lost at that point.
Okay, so, yes, we can move Eris to the other one, but the Yellow Dojo is Resnick, as I mentioned, Hierophant, Two Reckoners, Eris 2, Gaston, Tristan with a Devout and Redeemer, Kel Balok, Dougal McNeil, Taryn and Ravisi.
Wait, there weren't two Jacks on Tristan.
There was a Devout and Redeemer.
Why was there a Devout?
Shield guard. And then Resnick goes base to base so he can't be knocked down.
I don't remember this.
I definitely remember this.
Okay. Dougal, Taryn LaVisi, Rack, Choir, Aeon and Holt, and Rovan and Co. was what was in the list.
I think this is legit. We'll have to retool that list some, but okay. I think it's legit. Just play a Durst list that's just really good into everything, and then find some random person you can drop your Rising Missile into on top of to them.
Yeah.
It's legit.
Let him get really close and then just light him up.
Two top?
Yeah.
Two top. I just have to get really good at two topping with Resnick.
Resnick list is so...
John had some super crazy like Resnick ideas back in the day. Maybe. I do actually... I don't know what the second caster should be, so any listeners who want to chime it...
I would love to hear you guys' thoughts on what you think would pair well with Durst.
Because having Durst and the ability to switch between all the Menoth Jacks that are so sweet seems...
That does seem pretty good. Seems
is
sweet.
One of them the Avatar?
It's not currently.
It could be.
It could be.
But more often, we'd probably want to put the Avatar in one of the
Get
others.
Out of here, Lance!
Yeah, no, it
especially
could be.
Fiora 1 if we're
or
playing
Or none
Fiora
of them.
1.
Yeah, it could be, but it won't.
Or Iron Aggression on him is kind of fun, too.
Nope. Doesn't sound like fun.
Or put it on Vindictus because he has Defender's Ward.
He sure does.
Mm-hmm.
Because then Defender's Ward...
What, Defender's Ward and
Avatar? Enlivened Avatar is a good time.
Pathfinder Avatar.
You don't
is also
need
really good.
Pathfinder when you're 12-23 immune to spells.
You do need Pathfinder.
Avatar doesn't have to get to anything. Everything goes to it.
Yeah, and then kills it.
No.
Wait, what? Have you tried to kill a Defender's Ward at Avatar
I've
recently?
And enliven Defender's Ward Avatar?
Have you forgotten how annoying it is? How miserable it is? How two Warpal Stalkers it takes?
I mean, one. Scorn, it does not take two of anything.
Yeah, that's because a lot of people play Scorn right now.
Signar.
Including this guy.
If it's Signar.
You're doomed.
I'm doomed, yeah.
you're just like.
It's like, I'll TK. Oh, damn
you're
it.
You're like, I'll send my Stormwall into it. Oh, that didn't work. Oh, rolled 4 focus. Oh.
I mean, let's be honest. 2
Oops,
focus.
Missed once with a Stormwall.
Yeah, I mean, he needs sixes.
But once I shoot it with Eris,
and boosting to hit with a Colossal is pretty much the worst thing in this game that could ever happen.
No.
No, it definitely is.
Okay.
It feels
terrible.
All right. I'll
let you have that, Fox.
It feels so bad when you boost it with a Colossal, trust me.
It boosted melee attack rolls all day, every day.
I know what it's like to boost a hit with my Gargantuan and miss every gunshot forever and then have... Literally played 20 points down the entire game.
Yeah.
You played a Galleon. You've boosted plenty.
No. I'm talking about the Woldereth.
Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
next
I guess.
Time I will come up with what I decided on, or at least throw out a few ADR comments for things to pair with that Durst list, because I like that Durst list.
I
guess my Colossal actually kills a couple things before it dies.
Yeah, see, mine is... You remember that game?
Yours
you
doesn't kill in the tournament.
There was literally... So five
yeah, I remember that game.
I had some Pumor Monolith with a Woldrath, and then I'm like, oh, yeah, Woldrath, shoot that Bane Knight. Boost a hit, because I need sevens. Miss my three dice to a seven. I'm like... All right, next model. And then, like, play the
model. 19 points of unactive model.
No, 20 points.
Play the, are they 20s?
Play the next turn. Jesus. Shoot a different Bane Knight. Miss my boosted seven. Fox, on his preceding turn, has an option to kill my Woldrath. But then debates just leaving it alive because it literally isn't doing anything. And then kills, like, the rest of my army instead. And I was just like, well...
I mean,
good on you, Woldrath. You did so little that Fox deliberately ignored you to kill my other things.
You, like, can't, like, that was bad dice, let's be honest.
Could you get your Woldrath in some way to, like, engage his stuff?
So, yes, it is bad dice. But why would I take a 20-point model where I can get bad dice, where I could take a 5-point model that does the same thing?
Yeah, getting bad dice with a 5-point model is much less.
That's why most of the Hordes one, the Gargantuans, were very poorly designed, because they need to have ranged output.
It's also getting bad dice with one shot.
That is reliable, even if you miss.
Mm-hmm.
That's why most of the Colossals are very good, is they have AoEs, mm-hmm. or they have a plethora of attacks, so that it doesn't matter if they miss like one or two.
Yeah.
Hopefully they learned that lesson. Because if they didn't, I'm not buying another door stop. So,
but it looks like a sweet phoenix. And that's a cool door stop.
I'm actually super excited about it. It will have a redemption with one caster only in it, so I can primal shock people.
That almost happened to me.
It almost did with that Woldrath. Got you good. Except for now, I'll have a model that benefits from my feet and other things.
Because... You can cast primal shock on the Woldrath?
Yeah, it doesn't target.
It doesn't
target.
It says choose a war beast in this model's controller.
Choosing, very, very different than targeting.
Seems like exactly the same thing.
Yeah, I know.
But whatever.
It works, because the plan was to trample my Woldrath up and then do its animus and then have Chromac go and just try and laser beam him to death with POW 16, three dice to hit primal shocks.
Laser beams!
It's cute. I'll probably do it in a, like, for funsies tournament sometime.
Like just Sunday?
Ooh. Ooh, if it's ADR, I can just slide it in.
Is there nothing else that you have that you want to Primal Shock?
No, because Primal Shock's a very awkward spell to put in circle, because Primal Shock is worded such that it's based off the model's base strength, so what's printed on the stat card.
Yeah.
And Warp Wolves warp for strength, so their base strength is 10.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Is that why Rock is different? Is Rock higher? Because I always see the primal shock coming out of Rock. 12.
Rock's just sorry, not power.
But then he primals himself. 12. Does that not make it higher?
It does not, because it's not his base strength.
I think I may have been cheated on that.
What about the satyrs? Probably. Do they have
troll players,
base strength?
So troll players have been doing that forever, because they were like, it could benefit from cell strength and rage, and then just like, oh, they thought about that,
right?
But troll heavies just have inherently higher base strength.
Like 14s and something like that.
Not that high. But Maulers, for example, are 12s. I think Mulg is 12 or 13. Okay. 13.
13.
Rock is at least a 12.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. So they're like 12. All the circle ones that you traditionally see play are Warpoles and are strength like 10.
Gotcha.
And then they warp for strength, which puts them up to 12, which is why they're comparable to other heavies.
But your feet changes their base strength.
No.
No.
It's literally what's printed on the card.
Yeah, nothing's going to change.
It's literally what's printed on the card is your base strength.
So POW 10s are not that great.
Yep.
Okay.
All the
Satyrs.
The Satyrs have higher. Mm-hmm. They're 11s.
Oh.
Riphorn Satyrs are 12s. So now, like, it's potentially worthwhile with Riphorns, because then it's kind of comparable to other, like, crappy nukes in the game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really excited to see. I mean, it's really sweet with the Woldrath. The problem is it's the Woldrath.
Yeah.
Like, that synergizes really, really well. If the Woldrath could benefit from the feat, which I don't know why it can, it's literally fluff reasons, and they don't want you to take Wolds with anybody that isn't, like, Baldur or Bradagus.
Mm.
Like, if the person doesn't specify in Wolds.
That seems like a dumb reason to like limit your sales on an item, but whatever.
Yeah. Because like I would play plenty of the Wolds, or at least I'd consider putting them with Chromac.
Sure.
Maybe it'll change in the future.
But yeah. Hopefully
I was gonna ask about Wolds, but yeah, I guess that makes
sense. Yeah, they don't benefit from the feet. They also have strength around like 11, 12.
But hey, Colin will probably tell you to take like Megalith because one spell of yours makes sense for it, even though it doesn't benefit from the feet, like the Avatar in Durst.
No, Megalith doesn't do anything with him.
And lower def.
Yeah.
And yeah. Then Weight of Stone.
So I'm super excited to see what the Sky Raptor does.
Mm. What his base strength is.
Only because of Primal Shock.
Watch his base strength be 12.
Because
it's a flipping bird.
Man, it's a bird.
It's a flipping bird.
It is a giant bird. Actually, when birds get that angle on you, like they'll crush you.
Yeah, I've seen Hitchcock.
Momentum.
Yeah.
From flight, not from the base strength of the animal itself. And I'm wondering whether or not they'll make that display in the game.
I don't know. I don't think they're afraid of putting high strength models because, like, in Primal Shock, because, like, the Mountain King is, like, base strength, like, 15 or 16. It's 16.
16.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's, like, precedence where, but the issue is that the Gargantuan suck balls, so maybe the new ones will be better, and I can play a giant raptor in Chromac too, and it'd be super sweet.
It'd be interesting. We need to see, if anything.
It'd be cool to
just
do.
Just a giant bird.
Because what's cool about Chromac, that the plan in the Woldrath list was, is Chromac, like, gets three corpses, and then, like, lives to the following turn, then the Woldrath, like, tramples up, and then he has the ability to put three fully boosted POW 16s, because Primal Shock costs three, or sorry, costs two.
Yeah.
It's three dice to hit because of the Woldrath Animus, and your magic seven.
Sure.
And then, so casting three Primal Shocks costs six of your seven Fury, but you can boost Primal Shocks with corpse tokens.
Oh.
Okay.
I forgot about that, and it lost me a game. I knew it, because it like the corpse thing just says boost attack or damage rolls. It
sure.
Doesn't specify.
I wouldn't have thought that.
Assume that'd mean from the model, like directly in a melee combat situation versus magic?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's pretty good.
So
he like eats it.
Yeah.
And then it powers his magic and he rages on people.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yep.
Okay.
So good to know if you.
Very good to know.
Yeah. Cool beans.
All right. Definitely an episode, you guys?
Sure.
Colin, we'll catch other factions.
Yeah,
at some point.
We'll do it. We did. I mean, we'll finish. Next time we'll wrap up Menoth probably.
We got wrap it one. Up.
If I come up with something for Circle, which I probably won't, I mean, we can talk about the tournament that we played in.
Yeah, I'll definitely start thinking about Rhett because Tyrone is probably super legit.
When's he released, though?
September.
Oh, okay.
Or at Gen Con.
Well, no.
Well,
I mean, like,
release.
So that way he can be on ADR.
Yes.
I mean, so technically you'll actually only be able to play him for September events and War Machine Weekend.
Yep.
That's so stupid.
Yeah, I really don't like I don't like the new casters get auto added because it will inherently strengthen
bone casters
one
with long release dates.
Yeah, and inherently strengthen one faction over the like another one.
Yep.
So
or a couple.
Yeah.
Well, also they go on the ADR for how long?
Half a year?
Until the rotation ends. So,
so it could be a month. It could be a week. It could be...
Yeah.
It could be 6 months.
Yeah.
It
Thanks,
also...
Haley, too. Three.
Or Durst.
Nah, nobody cares about
Durst. Yeah, suck it, Nick.
Nobody cares about Durst. Everybody cares about Haley 3.
I'm don't suck it. Like, I'm sorry.
I was gonna.
He immediately walked back to that topic.
He was gonna go out to the back alley and then...
Where do I have a back alley?
See,
there's
they're
one
all
we
over
can
the place.
Right?
See the
all
the Wayne parents get shot.
It.
Was, yeah,
right. The Waynes keep walking down there for some random reason.
No, we're the O'Briens.
The Waynes are over
That's
there.
So glorious.
That's hilarious.
Oh, thanks. Takes off.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else on the ADR before we wrap up?
Nah.
Sweet. What's up with the store, Colin?
We have all the 2D terrain, I believe.
Nice.
Which is awesome.
We'll be at Capticon?
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. We're going to have everything at Capticon. It's going to be awesome. So we have all the Reckoning and all the 2D terrain. We also have Star Wars now.
What?
Yeah. The like the little X-Wing rangefinders and like the full time, like the movement set.
Oh, for the X-Wing miniatures game?
Yeah.
Oh.
We have
not Armada, like, just X-Wing?
Just X-Wing.
That's cool.
Boy,
I didn't know you guys were branching out into other stuff. That's cool.
Yep.
What about Infinity?
Still in the works.
Sweet.
We also have new wound markers that should be... We're going to have like the first batch of them for sale at Captain Con.
New What's new about wound them? Markers?
The artwork's done by Florian.
Oh, very cool.
So they're just super beautiful like wound markers.
Nice. I'll have to take a look at those.
Yep.
I have not seen them.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's a lot of new stuff. You guys have been working hard. Kicking ace.
Yeah, that's...
All right, so check them out. If you're in the Capticon area, go check out John, Colin, and Nigel. Who else is going?
It's from just the, me, John.
Okay.
From the for like the working at the booth.
Yeah, working
just me
at
and John.
Stuff,
but Tom Guan's coming. Aaron Whale's coming with us. Mm-hmm. And Keith is coming.
Nice.
So
you guys should have a great time out there.
Yeah, should be a lot of fun. Also, Seppi will be there.
Yeah, Giuseppe's joining you guys from Fighting the Box Studios.
He'll have Squirrel or Die, and I think he's going to try and bring some more.
He'll have Undermined and End of the Line.
Yep.
Probably, because those are the two that he always brings along with stuff. Yep. And they're both fantastic games. I recommend if you get a chance to play at Fighting Box Studios demo times, the games are fantastic. They're both really well designed. I can't wait for him to get the final stuff
Squirrel
out.
Squirrel or Die is like memory for adults. It's sweet.
It is. I've introduced that game to so many people, and they've all like, so you know people that make this? I'm like, yeah. It's just a really interesting and unique design. Everybody that comes by the booth and plays it generally tends to walk away with one, which is awesome. So.
Yeah, it's really awesome.
Because it's only cool. like 10, 15 bucks.
Yeah.
That's 25.
No. Okay. I literally didn't.
No. Something like
that. Yeah. I haven't bought it because I literally demo with it every single time I see him.
I own a copy. If we want to play it, we can play it anytime you want.
Because he's like, hey, you want to help me dump out?
What else?
Yeah, sure.
Trying to think. Yeah, so go check them out at Capticon if you're in the area. Check them out. Otherwise, when we go to other conventions, we'll probably have that stuff in other new material as we go along. So, that's about it for podcasts.
Yeah,
what should people do?
They should probably like Kesha on Facebook.
If you hate yourself,
if she's still alive.
Yeah, man! Speaking of who else might be alive. Where's my brother?
He's somewhere.
I don't know. He just like disappeared in the middle of the night.
He's somewhere, I'm sure.
He's in some alley somewhere doing crack, like, getting ready to shoot the Waynes.
He's not doing crack. Huh? He's saving cats in the alley.
And then shooting the Waynes?
Yeah, sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
At some point, like someone's got to shoot the Waynes.
The Wayne brothers?
The Wayans? Well, at least Marlon. The rest of them are.
Oh my gosh, this is so terrible.
I mean, it is nighttime, so he's probably out saving somebody. Like a cat. Like, I assume he's Batman, but for cats.
So he's Catman?
Just cats?
Yeah.
He has two pugs.
They call that Catman.
Dogs? It's like Catwoman.
Could be
so
for
he's wearing
dogs
the same
too,
outfit, but it's a dude.
Also horses. I think he would save a horse, and then he'd probably find somebody to shoot it.
Yeah. All right, let's end this.
It's Catman. Run.
Jesus Christ.
It's Catman.
There's something I wanted to say. I'm Colin.
Like to sign out?
Something else about Kesha?
Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter.
He's
Colin. Who are you?
At Me's on Minis.
Adam. I'm Adam.
I'm Lance.
And I'm Crump. Thanks.
Messy sign-offs!
scared.
Pre-ramble, second shot. Go ahead.
Now Colin, that go. It's your time.
Colin wanted to pre-ramble about everything that came out of Comic-Con. We attempted to start pre-rambling.
Damn it. No, we got
no!
One.
Half of us hadn't seen it.
We forgot one thing.
What?
Evil Dead. Fox has to see it.
God, I can watch.
Damn it.
No, he has to see it.
All right. Okay. So should we start there?
What? We're recording.
We are recording.
Of
all
the things from Comic-Con, that is the most exciting.
Yeah,
to me,
easily.
Is the Ash vs. Evil Dead.
That was fantastic.
I know.
Wasn't that just really well done? Like, right out of Army of Darkness, Evil Dead 2.
Yeah.
Let's ramp up the camp.
Evil Dead.
Have a good time with Bruce Campbell being old and go.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Yeah, no, it looks really good.
It's the best thing to come out of Comic-Con.
Yeah, if you get
I still disagree. But
wrong.
It's really good.
If you get a chance, watch that trailer. Oh, if you have Stars, watch it when it comes out, premiering on Halloween this year. Should be interesting.
Yeah, I got to get Stars.
I think I have Stars.
A lot of people have Stars and don't know they have Stars because there's literally nothing on Stars worth watching otherwise.
Wow. He said it.
Most of the time, there are a lot of
I've seen movies from it on Stars.
Yeah, there are movies on Stars. That's the whole point, but it's always like the third run
stuff
you would never even read from like Redbox kind of thing.
Occasionally.
Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
Yeah, case in point.
No, occasionally. Occasionally there are movies on Stars that you
So Stars is like
But they never
premiere
anything amazing.
Yeah.
Stars is FX, but you have to pay like extra money for it.
Right.
Oh, God.
But they got Lord of the Rings like 15 years after they came out, you know.
Yeah.
Like they're just premiering them now.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
That's Stars. Nice. But I mean, they had the Spartacus show when it was on. Mm-hmm. I think that was theirs.
God, it did. Yeah,
I definitely have Stars.
I was like, now I'm in. I'm gonna come over and watch it.
There was a couple of other original shows that they had. I don't remember off the top of my head what they were, but so Stars is doing okay with original programming, and now they're doing really well with this. Obviously, that's a smart play, and they're doing it well.
What?
Well, look at that trailer. How could that be bad? It doesn't matter what else they do. It's
caters
just be good.
To a very small population.
Well, I mean, Spartacus was really good.
Raimi super fans.
Yeah, that's on the whole slew of network television, that's a very small subgroup of people.
I suppose that's true.
Actually, yeah, now that you remind me that Spartacus is on Stars, then I now like Lucy Lawless being on it makes a little bit more sense.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So
because why not?
All right, what else are you guys excited about?
Well, let's go down the list. Superman versus Batman. Let's throw that trailer out there. You're a little iffy about it.
I am also iffy about it.
Like,
okay, go ahead.
So I don't like that. I feel like just from the trailer, I feel like Wonder Woman was just thrown in, and
in order to start like a whole movie franchise type situation.
Well, I feel like she's thrown in because I don't know. I can't even like think of why she'd be in the story at this point.
why not?
Boobs.
I suppose.
But I figured it out. That's why she's in the story.
But also, I think obviously they're trying to set up their Marvel Universe franchise, and so they might as well start introducing.
No, Lance, they're trying to set up their DC Universe franchise.
No, they're literally trying to get into Marvel's thing because there's just too much money to be made there.
But
they're making their version of Marvel's continuous universe.
Why do they not just make? Why don't they just put the stupid animated movies in theaters?
Actually, that was the most frustrating part, not about this movie, but the Suicide Squad movie, when I heard Harley Quinn talk, and it wasn't Harley Quinn from the animated.
Yeah, it wasn't,
like
Mr. J?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
You got the wrong actress.
But they haven't really had her, she doesn't talk a lot in that trailer, so it's hard to tell if she has the Jersey accent.
Oh, no, she talked once. No,
I didn't.
She said, are you the devil? And then she said,
"Definitely not."
And
like,
and later at the
then
end.
She said, "Yeah." And I think
it definitely was not a her same exact Jersey accent.
They should have got Snooki.
She's
do
in
it.
Literally everything.
Oh God, shut up! Does not need to have Snooki involved anywhere.
So it seems weird to me, like just odd sort of choice in movies and how they're making the Suicide Squad film.
Sure.
Because in the new Batman versus Superman movie.
Mm-hmm.
They still gave you the background story of Batman, which takes all of like 3 minutes.
But I have no idea how his backstory started. I mean, all we know is that there are scenes of it. We don't know how in depth it gets.
Sure. I'm pretty sure in the Suicide Squad, since there's so many characters, like, they just can't go into any backstory of, like, any of them at all, except for, like, maybe the Joker.
We already
I think they go into backstory.
Like, and Harley Quinn.
Well, and Deadshot, I think, too. I think they get, like, the main people that you're supposed to cheer for in the... Because there's... In all the Suicide Squads, there's the few characters that you actually care about. Usually Harley, usually Deadshot, maybe, like, one other person like that Asian sword chick, maybe. But then you'll probably get their backstories, and all the other guys are actual bad guys that you want to have something bad happen to, and then something bad will happen to them, and you'll be fine, but you're still going to cheer for those three, quote-unquote, anti-hero characters. So you're going to get their backstories, because they show Batman, you know, riding on the car of Joker and her. So I'm assuming that's their apprehension, et cetera, to be sent to whatever prison that Waller gets them out of, and why Joker's in Arkham or wherever the hell he is.
I'm just saying to, like, the general public, the general public does not know the backstory of any of the characters.
No, I had to explain.
At all.
I was having lunch with Brian Finken today, and he's not a big comic book reader. He's just like, what is Suicide Squad even about? What's the story of that? And I had to explain to him what it was. And I guarantee there's a lot of people out there that aren't comic book fans that have zero idea what Suicide Squad is.
And, like, did he basically go, oh, so they're like a Suicide Squad?
No, only Will Smith does that.
I mean,
he just says, we're all patsies. We're like some kind of Suicide Squad. I mean, that's like a Fast and Furious dialogue level right there.
Well, so here's what actually frustrates me about the whole Suicide Squad movie.
Okay. Are we moving on from Batman, Superman, or are we going to come back around to it?
We'll come back, part
of the DC.
Yeah, it's
multiverse.
All the same universe.
Yeah, go ahead. Keep going.
But, like, so what frustrates me about it is that, so at the very beginning, Amanda Waller's like, yeah, they're all bad guys. Mm-hmm. Like, well...
He said, so they're bad guys, and she said, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactsies.
But like,
if she said
they're not
so
actually,
much
like, in our minds in this universe, to us, they're not actually set up as bad guys.
I think that's what the pre-story is going to be. Like,
a pre-story?
I think, like, that's what all these little...
See my point?
It's going to be an Ocean's 11 set up to it.
That would be amazing.
They set it up, and
like
then them
crime.
Yeah, them doing crime and then getting put into the jail and them all meeting up and then joining the squad. That'd be a good way to do that. Do it like an Ocean's 11.
Really, right? Do you get my point, though? I feel like they're not going to, like, these characters, no one knows who, like, I'm not saying, when I say no one, I mean the general public has no idea who these characters are.
Nope.
I don't know most.
It's like,
most
you know them, but you, like, know of them. Like, the two that the general public will probably know are the Joker and Harley Quinn, and no one else.
Well, the Joker's not technically part of the Suicide Squad.
I mean, he's in the movie.
But he's not part of the.
Yeah, I know Will Smith.
But let's take that. Let's take Devil's Advocate approach and say most people had zero idea who the Guardians of the Galaxy were. So if the film is done well enough, they will go and enjoy a superhero movie of a sort. If they if it's done well and the characters are done well, i.e., Guardians of the Galaxy, you can pretty much sell any comic book movie to them.
That's fine. Which I think is hilarious that they, for all of the, like, major characters, like Batman, like, there's been infinite Batman movies, and they always do, like, a, in case you don't know, his parents got shot in the back alley. Like, it's actually, I prefer storytelling where we don't develop a character's backstory in the beginning, and instead just do it as the story progresses.
Yeah.
Hence why Guardians of the Galaxy was not a complete pile.
Right.
And hence why this Batman Superman movie probably will be.
There's a number of reasons why this might be problematic. And most of it can be detailed into what was wrong with Man of Steel. And did he learn anything from it? And I think the answer to that is no.
God, I just...
At least it doesn't seem like it in any way.
I mean, thought they were going to take a way more, like... I was so happy when he snapped Zod. Spoiler alert, I was so happy when he snapped Zod's neck.
No one is happy about
that. I was. Because I was just like, holy crap, Superman's now an original character. Like, he might have a unique story arc in this movie. And then he doesn't.
And I think that's why... That's
everyone
why he
got pissed off.
But I think that's why he did it, was to try to, like, tip people's expectations of the character on his head. And it just ended up not working out. So he should have just stuck with the original character anyway. And that's actually something that I wanted to get into, because I was reading an article this morning about it, where they were talking about what has Hollywood gotten wrong about Superman the last couple movies, and why they got it so right back in the 80s. And the idea was based on the concept that Superman cannot write Superman interestingly by making him dark, angsty, broody, a demigod, etc. He has to be like a down-to-earth, approachable person who does what he does to protect humanity because instead of being selfish and just destroying everything and taking over the whole world, he was raised by Kansas farmers and has a good moral compass and therefore likes humanity, protects humanity. When he fights his enemies, he incapacitates them and tries to understand them in a way to get them to understand why he protects humanity as well and to change their ways. Like, it's a goody two-shoes type character.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of Hollywood people that say, we can't have a goody two-shoes character be central in a movie. But then Marvel goes around, puts Captain America in the center of two blockbuster franchises and, you know, movies, has a goody two-shoes character that basically Superman could be, and they don't do it. They just say, well, we have to be dark and angsty like Batman because Batman made us $1 trillion. We're Warner Brothers, and we don't know any better.
You also have to remember that Captain America, like, clearly killed multiple people.
And is also not a god.
But he's still a goody two-shoes. He's trying to do everything. And who has he killed? Oh, I guess with machine guns and stuff. Yeah, fair enough.
And
World War II.
He
fought in World War II where he was literally shooting people.
But he's hitting people with shields and stuff. And a lot of people had problems with him using a machine gun in the Captain America movies,
too.
Well,
also, just the Winter Soldier.
Yeah, at the start of Winter Soldier, he kills, like, six people on a boat.
He literally had to kill those people.
Why?
No, like, there's no way they're not dead.
Hit them with a metallic, like,
in the
shield.
Skull at, like, 60 miles an hour. There's no way their neck did not
he
snap.
He, like, hit a guy with a shield so hard, he, like, hit the railing of the boat and went flipping down, like, to the water.
That probably hurt him a bit, but I don't think it killed
him. Broke his spine, and then he drowned in the water. Like, you don't come back from that, Lance.
Winter Soldier did open up, and I was just, like, immediately, like, holy!
Stop swearing.
I am in! Like, when did Captain start killing people? This is the nuts! Like, yeah.
I gotta turn your volume so far down, it's alright.
So the issue I have with Superman
I really
hurt right now.
I would really like to see...
And I got this on headphones, him amplifying into my skull.
I would
Go
like
ahead.
To see a Superman story arc where it starts as what you were saying.
Yeah.
And then, over time...
Starts in what way that I'm saying? Like, being a goody two-shoes character?
And then, like, just over time develops into sort of the absolute power corrupt situation. And, like...
You think that's a good Superman story?
I think it would be better if they had done it where it's, like, starts off goody two-shoes Superman, and then they develop all the other lame little characters.
Right.
That are way actually cooler than Superman.
Right.
But then develop it into, like, some sort of Justice League situation.
Which is what they're doing.
And then...
Like if he could face morality issues and like
and Superman is always their biggest threat because he's that one guy that's stronger and better than almost everybody else in that universe, and if he ever snaps, they're all in big trouble.
Yeah,
like and that's the heart of almost any modern DC story is Superman going to snap, and if the answer is yes, then when and what do we do?
What Injustice or whatever it is,
right?
Or?
Injustice Gods Among Us or something like that. I mean, different stories like that. That's how they try to tackle that character because he can do so much stuff.
Yeah.
But I mean, I get what you're saying.
Situations that would start pushing him towards that are like when he has to snap Zod's neck to prevent the family.
Wait a second. So
things
Superman...
Like it happened too early on. They didn't develop his like goody two-shoes, like... doer goodiness.
Yeah, make him really have that decision be something that he was really regretting having to do but had to do at the last minute and made it like this really difficult, complicated thing.
Yeah.
Because the entire movie he was angsty, brooding, and didn't want to be Superman until literally the last minute and then had been a hero for maybe an hour and a half and then did that.
Yeah. I'd like to see...
That's not really a good enough reason to do it.
I would like to see goody tissues like person and then presented with options where they just have to like... do things that they don't want to
the
do
worst
for the
evils.
Greater good.
Yeah.
And then that starts to eat away at them over time.
Sure.
And
you mean just like the Justice League cartoon?
Right.
Yes, Colin! That is very well done! Which is why DC should stop being idiots and just make those into actual movies.
Yeah, it's literally the Justice League cartoon.
Yeah. It was really good.
It was good.
They did a good job. And they do a good job. The Suicide Squad Assault on Arkham cartoon.
Yeah, that was amazing.
It's incredibly well done, and I hope the movie is as good as that is.
It won't be. There's no hope.
I'm just saying I'm hoping.
Actually, that was very Ocean's 11 startup.
Yeah, it was incredibly Ocean's 11 startup.
Yeah.
Like, you get Roger in there.
And violent. It was a really violent cartoon. It's great.
Like, Lance, he loves violence.
I like it in that setting in particular, but
I have
so going back to Batman Superman. I mean, to answer your question as to why Wonder Woman is in it, obviously they're trying to set up the universe, but at the same time, an old Dark Knight Returns Batman character, no matter how well prepared he is, and there's a lot of conversations we can have about it, and this is probably going to blow up in a flame thread, maybe, but there's really no way Batman by himself should be able to take on Superman in almost anything.
Well, there's like actually no way Superman could ever beat Batman.
Okay, so we're going to have that fight here.
All right. No.
Let the flames begin.
The reason why is because Batman is the, like, he is the guy that's in the comics that has no powers. He has, no special abilities.
I get it.
And so he can literally never lose because they can't have him lose to Superman.
Why?
Because he represents humans.
Yeah.
He represents humans.
Colin's saying they literally can't ride it.
So it's not from a factual reason that he can't beat him, but just literally they can't beat him.
They can't do it.
Okay.
I would also like to see a story arc where Superman actually dies and then Lex Luthor like actually becomes a problem for the world instead of just being this rich little.
No,
it's actually Superman dies and then Lex Luthor becomes a good guy.
He does. It's called Red Sun. It's where Superman.
I've seen.
He goes, and he becomes like the super president, increases everybody's life tenfold, lives to be like 350, creates prosperity, and then dies.
Increasing everybody's life tenfold isn't necessarily a good thing.
Yeah, that seems kind of evil.
Well, it increases like space travel and technology, and
also,
everybody's happy. And it's a utopia because under Lex Luthor
and overpopulation and food shortage. Anyways,
it's global. Right?
They go to planets that space travel.
Yeah, I know.
I have a question that like we could probably just leave this subject after I ask this question.
Sure.
So if Superman turns,
this is going to kill the conversation, guaranteed.
If
go
Superman
ahead.
Ever turns evil, what happens to Bizarro Superman?
He turns good.
So he turns good, and now he's the okay. Yeah. Okay, I mean, I think that would actually be a more interesting comic in my opinion.
Have they ever used him? Have they ever used him in a Suicide Squad?
No.
Bizarro?
No.
Why? He seemed like he'd be a really good Suicide Squad character.
I don't see him represented very much.
No. Kind of a dumb character.
He's really dumb, and I'm probably offensive.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he's just offensive.
From what I remember, yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
But yeah, killed the Superman conversation.
So, it might also be cooler if Superman was less intelligent.
So he'd just be Bizarro Superman.
No, not like like
that.
An
if
IQ
actual
of
Superman
two.
Was actually less intelligent, why?
Because then he wouldn't have as many brains to make actual like wise decisions. So the corrupting path is easier.
Why do you want to corrupt Superman?
Because he's the dumbest character,
right? I think DC's aware of that, and they're trying to...
Why don't they just stop making Superman things?
Because Warner Bros. Is not going to sit on that property when they could make money off of it.
But yeah.
They should get it in the right hand of people.
All right, anyway, so we've talked about this.
Also at Comic-Con, the Star Wars trailer.
Yep, super excited.
Retro trailer. Not really. I mean, some new scenes and shots, but it's not an actual trailer. It's just kind of a...
Reassurance
documentary that it's...
That they got Jim Henson on this biz and there's...
Yeah, practical effects, animatronic makeup and stuff. Not as much green screening and CGI stuff as the prequels.
No, you mean
rest easy, nerds.
You mean my eyes won't be bleeding when I watch the new Star
right.
Wars?
Mark Hamill kind of like puts a little jab at like episodes 1, 2, and 3 because he's just like... Despite all the advances in technology, there's still a foot grounded in reality. He makes some like comment about like
because we have insane technology doesn't mean we have to CGI everything.
Nope, exactly.
Yeah.
So if you get a chance to watch that, if you're at all a Star Wars fan, watch those. I felt reassured. I think Crump did as well.
I mean,
I think everybody felt.
Yeah, didn't we already know?
Rest easy, nerds. No, I think there's a lot of people that were worried about J.J. Abrams messing this up somehow.
I mean, he still might mess it up. This didn't tell it, like, this
true.
Didn't show us the movies.
It
just shows they
all it showed
used
me,
practical effects.
All that it showed me is the movie is worth seeing for.
It was going to be worth seeing no matter
artistic
what. Yeah. But you were going to see it no matter what.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it's many people that are going to say, I'm going to watch it.
And then we're going to grade and. Right. See how bad it was compared, how good or bad it was compared.
I
there's no
full,
way it's better than Empire.
I have full trust in JJ. I think it's going to be amazing.
There's no way it's worse than episodes 1, 2, and 3. I've said that.
Yeah.
I was like, there's no way episodes 2 is bad as episode 1.
It was not worse.
It wasn't, but it was pretty bad. Close.
It was like half a story. More problematic is that they just wrote half a script and just said, yeah, let's just film that.
Well, no, they wrote half a script, and then they let the quarter of the script in the third one try and make up for it.
Right, exactly. It's like the Hobbit movies.
Yeah,
so they didn't quite finish that dragon killing thing, and they just left it at the beginning of the next movie for a denouement for zero reason.
Yep.
All right, sweet. Go ahead. What were you saying?
So, Star Wars is gonna be sweet.
Yep. Hope for the best.
What else was at Comic Con? Deadpool.
Deadpool.
Yeah, this is all Colin. Colin.
Oh my god, I'm so happy.
I'm like dead drool. Am I right?
Ryan Reynolds so dreamy.
He is super dreamy.
That's why it's dead drool.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Colin's drooling.
Mm-hmm. I think. I mean, they did a fantastic. There's, you know, all the swearing, all the violence, all the goofiness.
It's rated R.
TJ Miller, which is fantastic. I love the TJ Miller and him just like going back and forth at each other about his face is fantastic.
Yeah,
I could watch that for like 20 minutes. It's just TJ Miller.
I'm
just
pretty sure most of
only
that,
2 seconds.
Like, I actually almost guarantee not a lot of that actually makes it in the movie, and probably, it's just like one line.
Yeah, those are all TJ Miller just improvisation.
Yeah, this is just them improvising back. Like,
I guarantee you that's what it is. Because Ryan Reynolds, you know Ryan Reynolds does it like he did for Van Wilder and everything, and TJ Miller just does that in real life all the time.
Mm.
Yeah, I think my favorite one is that your face looks like Freddy Krueger face a topographical map of Utah.
Yeah, that's great.
It's like your face, it looks like an avocado that had sex with an older avocado. I like that. It was particularly good. A lot of great little burn insults and stuff before. Yeah. If you can find it online, go for it. They pulled it on a lot of the ones that I knew where to find it. So if you can, and hopefully the HD one is out by the time
YouTubes.
We post this. The YouTubes are everywhere. You can try to find it. There's also a lot of like promo videos that are out now with it too that you might find. If it's shorter than like 3 minutes and not filmed on somebody's cell phone, it's not the real thing. Unless they come out with the HD one by the time we post this. So. Mm-hmm. Get a chance
really
to watch it.
So.
I do too. I really kind of. There were some scenes and details that I was missing that I needed to watch because it was on somebody's cell phone.
The action looks really cool, actually.
Yeah, looks really. I mean, it looked like that test demo. I mean, that scene was almost scene for scene that test demo thing that leaked out a long time ago,
where he
was fighting in the car and everything.
Yeah,
it looks. Yeah.
From what I could tell from the cell phone. Capture,
yes, from the cell phone.
It was like it looked like I think it looks better than that. But,
well, yeah, it's probably more processed. That was a test reel. This is an actual high-definition film. So I just can't believe the movie got made off of just the fan response and Ryan Reynolds saying, I will do this. Please throw money at this project. And they're just like, oh! And then it gets made, and it's done like a year later. It's
great. Did you hear Reynolds comment?
No.
He, like, in that press conference.
The panel?
He said that... the movie would not have been made if it wasn't for that. Like, he was like, yeah, it kind of sucked. The release came out. It got, like, revealed.
Oh, I think it's in
when
here.
We didn't mean it. And then just the fact that, like, basically how he said it was the fans basically had the, Universal's hands behind their back and just said, you make this movie or else. I don't know what the... But yeah, I don't know.
Hang on, I have it.
They
right
leaked
here.
The thing, and then everyone was like, holy crap, you guys better make this movie. And then they were like, oh, everyone's saying we should make that. We should probably get a bill off that.
Yep.
Okay, so here's Entertainment Weekly for Deadpool situation. I read this. This is pretty funny. With the person who leaked the 2011 test footage of Deadpool, thereby throwing fans into a frenzy and triggering a long-awaited green light for the project, please stand up. Ryan Reynolds wants to kiss you. Quote, and not just a little kiss, but a full on-the-mouth sloppy with tongue, for 2 straight minutes on live television without commercial interruption, and then I'll buy you dinner at Red Lobster at least and dessert.
I don't know about that, but I like to be wine and dine.
No, you get the kiss first on TV, and then you get Red Lobster and those cheddar biscuits. I mean, come on.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was his official quote in Entertainment Weekly, which I thought was funny. He was very excited by whoever leaked it. So. So that the turnout on that looks fantastic. I mean, it's got Marina Baccarin in it, like we mentioned, TJ Miller. I'm trying to think of other people that are listed in the credits.
Ryan Reynolds.
Well, other than him, I think everybody realized that
he's the only one that matters. He's so dreamy.
I disagree, but that's
also the whole
him
jab
being dreamy.
No, not him.
The whole jab at the Green Lantern was pretty great.
It was. Yeah.
Yeah.
he realized that was garbage.
I would hope so.
Yeah. What else? I'm trying to think what else dropped.
Evil Dead.
We did talk about that. We talked about that right at the beginning.
Yeah. That's it. Mm-hmm. Comic-Con.
Should we talk about it again?
Comic-Con had nothing.
Had everything. Conan's, if you watch any of Conan's stuff about Comic-Con, he had full cast interviews for X-Men Apocalypse.
Oh, yeah, there was also a trailer for that I didn't
Game
watch.
Game of Thrones.
High five!
Yeah!
Was there a trailer for
Game of Thrones? I'm pretty sure there was.
Okay, I don't think it leaked, but I think they did one.
No, I thought it was in a full trailer.
No, not yet, no? I don't think. But anyway. The more this is for Josh Maxson, but anybody else that watches it, but they had an interviewer where he was interviewing Olivia Munn and she was talking about her Psylocke character. So he put the picture up on the screen. He's like, there you go. He's like, is that what the costume looks like? She's like, yeah, pretty much. And everybody's around like all nodding and that sort of thing. And he's just like, yeah. She's like, I'm not as generous in the chest area as that biz, but yeah, that's pretty much it. And then basically two women have to lube me up so I can get into that thing. And then yeah. Conan's just like, what? Like, he was like looking at his cars and he like snapped his head up. He's like, what? He had to like, repeat that one more time. Yeah, two girls just had to lube me up and put me in that leotard thing. He's just like, oh, God. Like, he's just sitting there, like, his eyes closed, just imagining what was happening. It was fantastic.
Yeah, he does that all the time.
He does. Yeah. Especially with his female character or female guests.
Sometimes with the male guests, too.
Yep.
Awkward. Who else?
Well, I mean, come on. If freaking what's his name from Magic Mike's on, I mean, you're going
to
do it.
Yeah. You kind of have to. But yeah, all of his bits and stuff, like they had his origin story. I don't know, did you see that at all? They had the Conan's origin story.
No,
so first, like, when he was a kid, he's walking with his dog, and this big thing crashes from, like, space. And he walks up to it, and there's, like, this alien inside this thing, and goes, oh, cool. He's like, found a quarter. And he just picked up a quarter. And he's like, no, that's not it. He's like, actually, I think this is it. And then it's him with, like, a little kid with a little, you know, orange hair with a swipe. And he's just like, he's walking out of like down an alleyway with his two like rich looking parents, and this guy comes up with a gun, and he's just like, Thomas Wayne, and he's like, no, we're the O'Briens. He's like, I saw the Waynes down there in that dark alley, and he's like, okay, thanks. And he takes off. And then the last one was something about getting like irradiated with hilarity rays, so whatever he says, it makes everybody laugh.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And his hair was going to permanently stay that way, and so he was like in a hospital bed making the doctor and the nurses laugh. That was the end of it. But it was a pretty funny little bit.
Yeah.
And then his road to Comic Con was him on the doof wagon with a guitar and the shooting flames out the end of it. And Andy had the Immortan Joe outfit on, and then Jimmy Vivino and the whole band were playing the drums on the back of the truck.
Nice.
And they get lost like on. Their little like, no, see, he's like, lower me down. He has to lower him from the big chains. He's like, no, you turned here, you got off the five, you need to get back on it. Okay, put it back up. He's still playing. It's so good. But yeah, he really took all the Comic-Con stuff to new levels. So Comic-Con was huge.
Yeah,
it looked like it'd been fun. I always want to go sometime. I don't know if it's so hard to get tickets, but I really want to try to make an effort to get to that at some point in my life.
I don't think I ever will. Just for money.
I did like your post on Facebook with Ariel in the
little
picture of it.
Yeah, sad looking at the rock saying, I want to be where the people are.
They're all like coming
up. Oh my gosh. That sounds amazing.
It was pretty good, man. It was pretty solid.
So Comic-Con's pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, my weekend was all like just terrible HOTS experiences.
Okay,
that's
what
too
happened?
Bad.
Oh, it was like my first experience with Gamer Rage, which was
really
first time ever.
That's
kind of
that's really late.
Like, I've seen like people throw dice and
some
stuff
people
like
are late
that.
Bloomers. It's okay,
but like
I mean, over the internet, it can be a completely like it can be crazy.
Well, were you on Skype with random people?
Well, it was. I'm not gonna say.
Okay,
it was.
Yeah, yeah.
It was. It was John.
Oh, okay.
It was John.
Okay.
Wait, really?
No.
Damn it, that would have been amazing.
Just anyway.
Like, because I'll cut this out if it is. But if it's not, okay, never mind.
But no,
that's too bad. Sorry to hear that.
Like,
I'm not.
It's really not that big of a deal.
I don't get the. I mean, win losses in that game are fine, I guess, if you're going for some sort of ranking. But the point is, you're playing daily quests and getting cash to earn characters. So who cares
people,
if you win or lose?
Yeah, no, you'd think that, but for some people, it's completely different.
That's just a game I do not care about winning or losing.
Yeah, I know.
I'll try to. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'll have fun, and if I can do some cool combos and cool
stuff
happens,
think that, yeah,
great. But I don't. it's not the end all be all of human existence if I lose.
And for
a game.
Some people, it's very serious.
Yeah, that's too bad.
I will admit, I've been getting frustrated. Like, in
yeah,
games
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like,
I get frustrated,
like,
on certain maps.
They can still they can still be frustrating.
I've definitely been catching myself, like just getting like super frustrating.
Well,
and,
I'm sorry
like,
to hear that.
And like, kind of yelling.
Is that
like,
a time to walk away from it, or what do you think?
No, it's this actually kind of opened my eyes a little bit because mm-hmm. I like heard it from the other side. I was like, oh, because I wasn't nearly this bad, but
yeah,
nerd rage is it's a real thing.
I get pretty bad if I'm just by myself because when I was playing WoW, I'd always PvP, and I just get so pissed. God, but like, God. It never carried with me everywhere. Yeah. It was just like there, and then I'm
at
and
that
then
one moment,
it,
and then you're
it
done.
Just like done. Yeah. Like somebody could have a conversation to me while I'm pissed, and it
right.
I'd be fine.
Right.
Like when I play Halo with Nick, I'd get super pissed.
Did you really?
Like swearing constantly.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
No, it's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Like.
No, I actually, like, and I normally just get frustrated with myself a little bit. Like, I never get
sure.
pissed at other people.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
even
you
what
think
other
you're
people
screwing
are doing.
Up or that you're doing.
Like, yeah, no, when I'm making, like, misplays and things like that.
Sure.
Or, like, because I've been, like, trying to figure out Kel'Thas, and I just cannot figure that guy out.
Mm.
Like, I just die constantly. And I'm just like,
really?
this isn't right.
I was playing with Zeratul last night with or a couple nights ago with a buddy of mine.
Yeah.
He was just getting into the game, so I was just playing two-man group with AI teammates versus AI, so we
yeah.
weren't playing against anybody. And I'm just like, oh, I'm going to try, you know, Zeratul's on free to play this rotation. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try him out. And it kind of got to the point where the other team was just really pushing in, and then I would, like, get spawned, run out of the core, and die in, like, 2 seconds.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, Zeratul has, like, no staying power whatsoever. This isn't even fun. I got to wait another 60 seconds to come out and lose in 2 seconds.
There's a lot more happening than just that.
Right.
But yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, so at that point, we're just kind of like, oh, well, we just – at least it's going to be over soon. You can kind of go from that expectation. But for the same thing, like you were saying with Kel'Thas, like, why am I dying so much? I'm not really screwing it up that badly. I'm playing him like I play Thrall, and oh, wait,
you'd
Thrall
be
heals himself.
No,
oh,
you'd
okay.
be surprised.
You know,
you'd well, actually be surprised at how many mistakes a person makes without realizing
oh,
it.
In those types of
games.
And that's why I never take it that seriously, because I know I'm screwing
oh,
up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But mm-hmm. at least I'm having a good time doing mm-hmm. it, and it's not that important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I got my game with my assassin, and I don't give a damn.
Mm-hmm.
You know? 300 cash for me, and that's all that matters. I mean, you're making way more money doing that and leveling yourself up than you are winning games.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they built that into the system so that people wouldn't get so effed up about it.
Yeah, yeah.
But not to say that people aren't. I mean, obviously. But.
Yeah, the reason people don't care as much or are less likely to rage in that game compared to other
yeah.
MOBAs is that the game time usually on average is like 15 minutes.
Right. Also, the skill gap, I think, between players is lessened.
It's true.
Because in Dota, the skill gap can be
absolutely
monumental.
For 15
they also,
years.
They also eliminated, like, carrying.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
You are, everything you do is equalized out over your entire team,
yeah.
so it prevents less raging because
yeah,
like
you don't have
you
one person.
It doesn't matter if it does matter, but
it doesn't
matter if you feed in that game.
Yeah,
it's just like wait, what?
Yeah, not nearly as much as in Dota,
yeah.
where one person can just completely screw it up for your entire team.
Yeah.
Right, right, right. So, and I think that's based on good design from Blizzard's standpoint. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. When John goes off and solos a boss, and then four of the other teammates, like, or the other team, like, two of them show up, kill John, and then get the boss.
That
yeah.
happens all the time.
No, that's not to say that it's not detrimental if, like, one person is being bad, but it's also reliant on your other players to also be
good. I've had that happen to me so many times.
Yeah.
I mean, if I were a smart player, I would watch to see if I could see when they're doing the boss. I would wait until they were almost done with it and then finish it off. I do that in the garden maps all the time.
Yeah,
it's
extremely difficult to do.
Oh, no, usually. It's actually pretty easy.
Yeah, that was probably a misdesign.
What? To go. Well,
like, you have to know that they're
no,
there.
No, you have to know the timing.
So, like, if you have a stealth character that's sitting there watching the team fight it,
yeah.
and you're just like, okay, everybody get ready to come to the boss. They're almost done with it. All right, everybody gang on them now, and then you just.
Oh, I thought you meant sniping out the creep from them.
No,
oh.
no. Like you have to still take the entire team out while they're all weakened.
I've also
and then
just sniped out the
clean the team
boss.
Out and then take the boss.
Mm-hmm.
I've like just like played Zeratul and he has like a void prism.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I just dropped their entire team in the void prism, stood in the boss, and then blinked out. That was actually pretty freaking spectacular. Like I just basically I soloed the boss and their whole team
yeah.
and lived. It was amazing.
It's kind of funny. Anyway, yeah, I've been really enjoying it. A buddy of mine who's never played a MOBA before, and I haven't really played a MOBA before either. This is my first one, and I've been really enjoying it. I kind of described it to him. He's just kind of like, okay. He's like, I think I'll give it a shot. And so we played it on Sunday. We played for like 3 hours, and he's just like, oh, man,
yeah,
this is unbelievable. I can't wait to play more of this.
For a starting player, I think this is actually one of the better MOBAs
absolutely.
To start out on.
Absolutely.
Like, absolutely.
I mean, just so you know how that system works, and it's relatively easy but still has enough depth in it that it gives you the replayability and the rewards of leveling yourself up and leveling the character up and getting bonuses and all that other kind of crap. So he's all in. He's actually playing with another buddy of his right now, and he wants me to come trio with them, and I'm like, I'm podcasting, I'll come on a bit later, but it'll be great. So just the fact that I'm able to turn on people who have never played a MOBA before very easily to this game, just loading it and trying it is all it takes for a lot of people to just say, I'm all in on this game.
I had actually never played a MOBA before.
Yeah, you neither.
And like, I watched their Heroes of the Dorm, and I was just like, well, like,
it was a scholarship thing for
it
was on ESPN2.
That's right, yeah,
also,
the video,
like,
thing, yeah,
one of the higher up. The whole tournament was actually on ESPN,
yeah,
but they only showed the finals on ESPN2.
Gotcha.
And like, I saw like on Facebook, they're like, oh my god, there's a like a MOBA on ESPN. I'm like, really? And so then I flipped to the ESPN, I just watched it, like,
that's cool,
for like 2 hours almost, and it was a blast. And then I was like, I kind of want to play this game. I think my computer's not good enough to play it. And then one day I was sitting there like just super bored, I was like, I'm going to try. And then like, my computer actually runs it fine, and just a little crappy every once in a while.
Blizzard is good about putting out games that no matter what kind of system you've got, unless it's something super old, you're going to be fine to run most of their games, even if it's at a low graphic quality, and still be playable. Like, it's not going to chop on you.
I'm not going to lie, because like, all my settings are all on the lowest possible.
Sure.
And I was watching some like streams of like one of the like tournament games.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, this is a completely different game. It just doesn't look anything like what
before
I play.
Before we go, I'll load it up on my machine, and you'll tell me if it looks good.
Wait, what? Are you talking about the dorm thing?
No, that he's been watching videos of other people streaming it.
Yeah, yeah.
And he thinks their high definition of the game looks better.
Yeah.
Than his low definition.
For paying attention, Nick.
Getting spoilers.
Huh? What? What's going on?
Yeah, it's... The game is spectacular.
It's really well done, and it's great for new players, and you can ease yourself into playing trainings for a little while. Then you can hop over and play some AI games where you're not playing against other people. Then when you feel like you're good enough, you can play against some other people and get better. It's a nice stair step.
Oh, yeah. Like, I think training. It's absolutely important that they get a lot of new players, and they focus on that.
Yeah, they do.
Because
they
League of Legends also did that, too.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably why it's really popular.
As popular as it is.
Yeah.
Also, from what I hear, that they're like other MOBAs don't have multiple maps.
They all play the same map over and over again.
Dota doesn't.
The rest of them do.
The rest of them do.
So it's literally just Dota.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, that seems like madness to me.
Dota's map is incredibly complex and really huge.
Wow.
Yeah.
Imagine
like
map,
I didn't actually.
It's like literally probably six times the size of the map you play.
It's
on.
Very very large.
So how do you ever find each other?
you do. You have you still have lanes.
You still run three lanes?
Yeah, yep. Three lanes.
And you're just running for hours waiting till you run into somebody?
It's not hours.
if we're running six times what you do over here, it might be a little while.
It's
and they don't have a mount.
Well, that's because they have resources in Dota. Like, you have to buy boots in order to be faster.
Oh,
anyways.
Okay. Got it.
You have to make decisions in that game. Basically.
Yeah, you have to farm
make
in order
decisions
to...
In this. There's
you
talents.
Do, but there are less. But that's perfectly fine.
All right.
There are also, because of the map size in that game, there are things like couriers that will bring materials to you.
Mm-hmm.
So you're controlling your character and this little courier.
And you have to buy the courier
You have to buy the courier with money that you get from farming off of little creeps or enemy dudes. And then if the enemy ever kills your courier, which it just takes one shot to do, they get like...
It takes two normally, but
But it's like
it's
an F ton of gold for them. So like,
and if there are items on it, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, holy crap. And there's like weapons.
That sounds god-awful.
There's like weapons. No, it's very well
done. Yeah, it's fantastic.
And then you get divine rapiers, and then.
But it's not as newer. Like if you're newer to MOBAs, it's not as
friendly to new players.
Not
okay.
Alrighty.
Is that good enough for pre-ramble?
Let's do this. Yeah.
Rock and roll. We're on 65.
All right. You have anything other than ADR you want to talk about? Fox Crix ADR.
Yeah.
You can play like Sturgis. You're the stewardess.
Yeah, Dave, actually.
Did those models actually ever come out?
Yep. No. No.
Then they didn't?
No.
Were they only for the Kickstarter?
No, like they're only Sturgis sold on the Privateer Press online store.
Sturgis I've seen.
That's awkward.
On the shelf.
No.
I've and he's on Sturgis. ADR and you have to
Dave,
buy it from their
like
store?
Dave that works at Mayhem
yeah.
literally asked today, did Sturgis actually come out?
Yeah.
And he was, and we were like, no.
I could have sworn I saw him on the shelf at some point.
I thought I did too, but maybe
I saw t-shirts in Sturgis, Missouri or whatever.
Oh, Two Broke for
oh,
Sturgis.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's or no, nice. It was Dakota, South Dakota.
Yeah.
Sturgis?
Dakota.
Yeah, Nick, I'm not
Sturgis.
Nick, I'm not playing oh, Sturgis. Yeah, I'm Too thing. Broke for Sturgis.
Oh, that's Sturgis. Okay. Same name. Okay. 65. I thought it was a completely different name, but it's exactly the same.
Yeah, what?